We're about to get ready to talk about the 34th best season of Survivor. Survivor Nicaragua has voted by the fans of Rob Has a Podcast. But first, let me thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Brooklinen. Save $25 off a minimum purchase of $100 when you use promo code Rob at brooklinen.com. How's your comforter looking these days? A lot like how you feel? Maybe a little lumpy, perhaps a little deflated, maybe doesn't have the same fluff that it used to. Jane said, never fluff off a Southern woman. Maybe it's time to refresh with Brooklinen. Brooklinen creates beautiful, high-quality bedding and home essentials. They work directly with manufacturers to give you a fair price. No middlemen, no markups. Their comforters come in lightweight all season and ultra-warm to suit every type of sleeper and lifestyle. There's even a weighted comforter option for stress relief, which so many of us could be using. They also have a variety of materials, including eco-friendly, recycled down alternative, and Brooklinen's comforters pair perfectly with their sheets, pillows, and duvet covers. There's a reason why Brooklinen has over 75,000 five-star reviews and counting. We love our Brooklinen sheets at my house. They're so soft and comfortable that I insist that we have multiple sets because I don't ever want to hear that the Brooklinen sheets are in the laundry. They're my favorite. Treat yourself to the ultimate comfort with Brooklinen's comforter collection. Go to brooklinen.com and use promo code Rob to get $25 off with minimum purchase of $100. That's Brooklinen.com. Enter promo code Rob for $25 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's brooklinen.com, promo code Rob. Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Sesternino, back again to talk about the 34th best season of Survivor. Tonight, we're talking about Survivor Nicaragua, and here we are to talk about the good, the bad, the purple, and all things season 21 of Survivor. Very excited to have you back here with us for this podcast series. Usually we are streaming live on a Wednesday night. This one we are recording at the same time, but we are unable to stream tonight because of some technical difficulties, but we will be back with more streaming episodes for you every Wednesday night. But that is not going to slow us down as we have a great panel to talk through. First, let me welcome in a man who has been trying to get through the snow in Texas. Please welcome sequester legend Jacob Jones is here. Jacob, how are you?
Hi, I am. I want to use Texas as a verb because I feel like now it can be used as a verb as something like not so good. So I'm feeling very Texas right now.
Yes.
With not so good climate, a lot of things going out. But I'm here, I'm powering through, and I hopefully my internet won't get snapped like Nyanka was threatening to snap Kelly B's leg.
Yeah. Yes.
So fingers crossed.
Jacob is a fighter that he has been fighting through the battles of trying to get hotspots connected, all sorts of that to try to keep the power on, keep the internet going. So Jacob, thank you for not just quitting on this operation.
I'm excited that this is honestly, I know it's ranked 34, but it's actually one of my favorite seasons with one of my favorite players.
Okay,
so
great.
I'm excited to talk
about it. All right, can't wait to get into it. And we are also joined here tonight by another great Survivor fan. Here is our good friend AJ Norris is here. AJ, how are you?
I'm doing so good, Ra. I'm excited to talk to you. I'm excited to talk to Jacob, and I promise to keep it hood, not ghetto.
Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about all things Survivor and Nicaragua, everything that was good, everything that was bad. Take your questions along the way. Any questions we don't get to here tonight, we will get to on our patron feedback show this weekend. Sarah Carradine, Sarah from Sydney, is going to join me. Of course, she played on when we played the schmuck over on Renap with AJ a couple of weeks ago. We're going to do that in our patron podcast feed this weekend. To find out about how to get our patron podcast feed, head on over to robiswebsite.com /patron. I want to hear about why the two of you have such strong feelings about Survivor Nicaragua. Jacob, okay, why Survivor Nicaragua? Why is it one of your favorites?
Because I think Survivor Nicaragua is actually one of the funniest Survivor seasons we have seen. I'm not talking about gameplay, not talking about strategic moves, because those lack luster in multiple areas. I'm talking about the pure laughter that I got every time I tuned in to an episode of Survivor Nicaragua. And also, my favorite contestant, one of my favorite contestants, not the favorite contestant, but one of my favorite contestants of Survivor, period, is on this season. And her name is Brenda Lowe.
Brenda Lowe. Okay.
Yes. I adore the ground that she walks on. And I saw your exit interview with her when she did, I think, Karamoa.
Yes.
And you really liked her.
Yes.
And so I was excited to talk about her. I like her boss attitude. She's super attractive and she's just a hell of a player. And I was excited to see her come back her second time. And now she's actually one of three people from Survivor that I follow on Instagram.
Oh, okay. She's a good Instagram follow. You recommend? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I recommend.
Yes. Okay. All right. Interesting. All right. We'll get into Brenda Lowe. She's a great character. And I feel like
I love her
arc in the season is incredible. I think she's a flawed Survivor player ultimately, and we've seen her two times out. And I think that this was the time of us like, oh, what might have been? Like, because I feel like that she, when she came through the first time, I felt like, oh, this is like the next Parvati. She's got to come back and play again. And then
literally
the second time out was more of like a, she somehow became Purple Kelly the second time.
I felt so bad for her while watching it. It pissed me off because I'm like, I tune in to see the Queen Brenda and I'm not seeing enough of her. And even when she was cheering on the side, islands for a second time, I was like, I want to see when she dove into the pool and the whatever ocean to get Don's teeth. She made that iconic jury speech her second time. Like, Brenda's not to be slept on, even though the editing slept on her. Her gameplay probably wasn't as ferocious as it was in Nicaragua. I still stand the Queen Brenda Lowe, period.
Okay, the Queen Bee, they called her. All right, AJ, why Survivor Nicaragua for you?
Survivor Nicaragua is actually the first full season I watched live on TV.
Oh, nice.
So it's like the first season I watched live was Heroes vs. Villains, but I started and finished Nicaragua. And it has a special place in my heart forever.
Were you confused when you started with Heroes vs. Villains? Did you know who everybody was?
I started like midway through. I think there was like 4 or 5 episodes left. So.
Yes.
I was confused from the jump.
Yeah. Okay. So Survivor Nicaragua was the first time that you got to watch a season from start to finish. Yes. Yeah, I've noticed that as we've been going through all of these different seasons and talking with people, that some people say like, okay, yeah, this season, people don't love it, but this was my first season. Okay. And this was the season that I found the show. And so I love these people. So Survivor Nicaragua for me was a fun rewatch this week. I will say that in my mind, I think I had a different perception of it where I felt like that towards the end, like I felt like it had got boring in my mind from the last time I watched it when I did the Evolution of Strategy with Josh Wigler a couple of years ago. This time around, I felt like I thought it starts hot and both the tribes are train wrecks, but I felt like that the pre-merge I thought is pretty slow. And then I feel like some of the best stuff is sort of like at the merge. But then I thought in my mind that it really falls off after Nayanka and Purple Kelly quit. But I felt like that the last couple episodes were fine. So I actually enjoyed this.
I think that speaks to production themselves, because as watching it, I noticed after Nayanka and Purple Kelly quit, Jeff was not as into the season. Like, he was less enthusiastic about it. Every time he spoke at the challenges and at the tribal, he was like, let's just get through this, while before he was eating it up.
I mean, he referred to them as quitters every chance he got. So
he was pissed.
Like,
he was yeah. I do want to talk about the quit, but I do think that something that leads into this, which I think is a big reason for the quit. I think that this is underrated. One of the worst weather seasons that there ever was on Survivor. And I do think that it was ugly. Like I've never seen really too many Survivor seasons where I don't think it was sunny 5 days that they were there. Mm-hmm. It was just like wet and muddy. And it was just like an ugly season to look at. And Jacob, I think everybody was just like depressed the whole time.
I completely agree. And honestly, it's such a coincidence that I'm in Texas talking about this and I get depressed looking out my window.
Yeah.
And I'm here. And so I get the emotional toll like that. And you, like, they zoomed in on people's feet being so, like, what is it called when you put your feet in water? It gets so, like,
you're like raisiny. Yeah.
Pruny. And I was like, ew. And I, the mental capacity for you, for one, to be on Survivor for a game that is all about manipulation, backstabbing, and you're in a climate of, like, you have to survive. You're not getting the normal meals. You're not getting the normal sunlight. And then it's rain pouring. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how did these people even utter a word in their confessionals or even have any energy to strategize? I feel so bad for them. And you saw, even when I remember the camp, the site caught on fire.
Yes.
That was like, it was like the cherry on top of doom of disaster for them.
Yeah.
And so I can, at this moment in my life, I identify with them. Not to that certain extent, but to a certain extent. I'll be down.
Yeah. Yeah. AJ, it's wild because I've already watched in this series the season that comes right after this that they filmed in the same location probably 4 or 5 weeks later in Redemption Island. I don't think it rained one time the whole season of Survivor. It looks completely different. And I don't know if they moved like beaches to a different part of Nicaragua or if they were filming in monsoon season and that was over. But it really was night and day between those two seasons.
Yes, I think if you looked at the season over at the La Flor Beach, it barely ever rained. But over at Espada Beach, it was like raining constantly. Every few days, it was like pouring down. You saw that scene where they, like, it was being swept away at one point. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that's a great place to have the merge at. Mm-hmm. That's the great merge tribe position to have. And I don't understand why. Why make these people suffer? I don't watch Survivor. Just, I get it's called Survivor.
Yeah.
But like, try to make it like optically pleasing to look at least. Yeah. Like, that was not fun to watch at all.
And also, like, the water, it was, there were like mudslides coming in. Like, I don't even know how, you know, Jane caught any fish. It was just like that the ocean was just like a river of mud. It was disgusting. Yeah. And that, you know, I do think that that's a big part of why we see people that are considering this late in the game walking away and quitting. And it, there was a lot of foreshadowing in the pre-merge, Jacob, when Nayanka, that there is that they have a bad rainstorm and she's talking about quitting at that point. And then we have like some really bad storms. And this is right after the stuff burns down. And Nayanka and Purple Kelly are both talking about it again here at this spot.
And this is the thing, when she was talking about it, I was like, okay, we typically hear sometimes people talking about, okay, I kind of want to quit. Mm-hmm. And we even heard Holly at the beginning talking about how she wanted to quit. And I just did not think Nayanka was going to do it. I could care less about Purple Kelly, but I was like, Nayanka is in such a good position in this game and is making moves and is a star this
yes,
season.
Yes.
I don't care if you want to say good or bad, but I was like, my homegirl isn't going to leave. I know she's not. Chase gave her this pep talk. She's focused on the $1 million. No way in hell that she's taking a, you know, she's like, okay, this weather's too much. But it did. But yeah, it was a lot of foreshadowing. But at the same time, I can get it. Do I respect it? Do I like it? Did I see it coming? But I was just like hoping that she did not quit. But we know what happened and she did.
Like, I think we can, you famously said, Rob, you would play Survivor for 100 days if it did not rain.
Yes.
Like, the rain is a son of a gun. Like, it really does suck. And like Jacob said, Nayanka and Purple Kelly were not the only people to contemplate quitting. Like, people were like, this is miserable. I don't want to be out here at all. And I think part of the reason why you see Nayanka and Purple Kelly quit is they're not fans. They were not fans of Survivor. They were recruits. And listen. Recruits can sometimes be good. I think Nayanka was really good TV. Purple Kelly, not as much. But I think this lends to the fact that super fans, for the most part, would like stick it out. You have to have like something in you that makes you want to like stick it out, whether it is 39 days or 11 days. Like, you need to have that extra push to have within you. So I don't blame Nayanka and Purple Kelly as much. Mm-hmm. Like, I was on a podcast this past year during BB22, the morning update for when Tyler wanted to quit, a super fan of Big Brother and like a cushy home, being well fed and stuff. Like, these games are mentally and emotionally taxing. Put rain and all this downpour on top of it, and you're not even a fan. Like, why are you out here? Why are you doing this? So I get it. Do I like it? Not really, but do I get it? Yeah, I get it.
Because I don't get it because we have poor Dan over here. The weather was making his joints, you know, become and this man stuck it out. And so he's probably more of a fan. And so I don't get it. And you know, I'm sure they take, you know, tests and do all these different precautions. The producers talk to him. Was this the first time that we've seen a survivor quit?
No.
At this point?
So there had been other quits. I mean, famously, the first quit is Austin in Survivor Prolines. Yes. And Jeff really, you know, rips into him. And there's other people where Janu quits. And there's a lot of them that are sort of like half quits, half like, you know, medical evacuations. But this was like the first one in a while where it's like a clear cut. Hey, we just don't want to play anymore. There's nothing like we are not like medical doesn't need to take a look at us. We've had it. We're tapping out.
And Jeff gave them the option of going back. Jeff, if anything, I would have felt bad because Jeff was in a sense like, hey, I really want you guys to stick it through. Like, I'm going to give you some time, go back to camp. Now, Yanka just got back from a reward.
Yes.
How in the hell can you quit after taking a spot from Jane and you went on the award, you got some food, that should have rejuvenated you for the last ending of this game. Nayanka, I'm looking at you, sis. Happy birthday, but why did you do that?
Yes, I was going to say, fun fact, today is Nayanka's birthday, so happy birthday to Nayanka.
Happy birthday.
And T-Bird was able to track down Nayanka recently. We had a really fun interview with her in the last couple of months. I think it was maybe in December that we talked to Nayanka. And really, people were so upset about this, but it was like, why couldn't you have given this woman a jacket? Like she was bringing so much to the show. Like, why did we have to stand on our principles like that? That she was, and because I think that they were so mad because they knew that she, like, the star of the show is leaving and she's walking out. We can't change her mind. And let's take her to a movie. Let's not have her quit on the spot. Like, we want her to think it over. And then they really tried to keep them, and there was nothing that they could say. She wanted out.
Like, this was such a bad situation. Like, we talked about the weather and stuff. That's the bad thing. We talked about the emotional drain. She did not have clothes. Remember, like, episode one or two, she lost her freaking socks. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't even have socks for a good minute. But I think also, when you're in a situation where it's not just you that want to quit, someone else is want to quit, and y'all are feeding off each other energy. And she said she had Chase backing him up, her up in the pre-merge. But now you got people like Benary, people like Fabio that's like egging you on, that's like talking down to you and stuff like that. Like, why would you want to stay in that situation? Like, I would not want to stay. I would stay in that situation. But me emotionally, I'll be like, I don't need to deal with this. I have a good life. My life is fine. Like, that's what I feel like.
Yeah,
but that's just my point of view.
I know people were so mad at the time. AJ, do you recall during your first season of Survivor how what the fan reaction was, or were you just watching it on your own and not interacting with any fans?
I was watching it on my own, not interacting with any fans. But I feel I've gone back. I rewatched it multiple times. I've listened to your podcast about it. Mm-hmm. This was not well received at all.
No.
People hated this moment. And I think personally, this is production's fault because they just dragged it out for an entire episode. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel if it was just like first 15 minutes, oh, the rain's pouring and stuff like that, and they're like, we quit. Okay, they quit. We moved on to the rest of the show. But they kept going and going and going. And people were keep egging on like, oh, this is terrible. And oh, I don't want to quit. And I think if they, because most of the quits we see, it happens at the beginning of the episode or like some point in the middle, but it's a blip on the radar. We don't care. Mm-hmm. But because it was this much dragging on, and I get it, you don't want to lose Nayanka. We got to do all we can to keep her here. So we're going to try all day to keep her here. Listen, Nayanka, I feel like she's a woman. Once she has her mind made up, you ain't changing that mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a losing battle. They should have just let her go. How many times on Big Brother have we said, just let them go home?
Just let them go.
Just let them go.
Yeah. And I feel like that as reality TV fans, I feel like that a lot of people have evolved in terms of how they think about it. But I feel like the show really wanted to make an example out of them, that there have been other people that have quit Survivor that have been treated with more kid gloves than they treated this quit on the show, where Jacob, they really like went out of their way to say, you know, you quit, and you know, you're quitters, go home, you have no place here on Survivor. Whereas that, you know, we had in like in the late 20s of Survivor, there's a few different women who walk away from the game, and it is treated like very sympathetically when they want to leave the game, and there's not any sort of like extenuating medical conditions for, say, Lindsay in Cagayan, who was sad that Cliff got voted out, or John Rocker's girlfriend Julie, who wanted to quit because she didn't want to miss out on seeing John Rocker in the pre-merge trip.
Mm-hmm. And I am appalled, because if you're going to have that energy for two people, I honestly feel like all the energy was directed at Nyanka. People, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't that. And we even saw the energy being directed at Nyanka at the finale, at the reunion,
yeah.
which honestly, I wasn't a fan of how the way Jeff conducted that moment, because we have seen people, you know, say they want to quit. And it has not been met with this type of rah-rah energy. It's like, hey, they're going into jury, and Benry was just voted out. Nyanka and Purple Kelly quit last tribal council. I'm just like, was that necessary? I like it, but was that necessary? They didn't have the reunion. How Jeff honestly went in a little too hard on Nyanka. And honestly, they should have wrote Nyanka a producer's check, a America's Players check, or something. She was reading my mind. She gave fun moments, fun entertaining moments, great confessionals, and she deserves. I hate that she quit. I would never quit. I don't understand that moment, mm-hmm. but they should have that energy for everyone who decides to do that.
Yeah,
I would like to piggyback off of what Jacob said on how this was directed at Nyanka.
Yes.
Like I was watching. What is that thing when you go by? They don't do that no more. They talk about each person and crap like that.
Yeah, the rites of passage.
Rice of pastures. Thank you, my guy. So they got to Nyanka. They was like, oh, how dare she? She's the worst. Oh, this is a stupid move. Then they get to Purple Kelly, like, oh, poor Purple Kelly. She should have just stuck it out. Oh, poor Purple Kelly. And then they go to reunion and they bring Nyanka's mama into this.
Yeah.
Mama.
Yeah, her like, mama, what? Zena.
I was blown away. And literally Jeff went down there and said, does Nyanka, you know, get some of her behavior from you? How dare you?
How dare you? She wanted to punch him and his dimples. Like, get the freak out of her face. Like,
you don't know this woman from a can of paint. And you go up to her and say, does she get her, like, you know, very controversial behavior from you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
So I thought this was like the wildest part of that, because Zena was great. Like Zena and Nyanka should have played Blood versus Water. But then Jeff like has like this very weird like he starts off like it starts off like it's gonna be a compliment, and he's like, all right, well, you will be very happy to know that because of your daughter Nyanka and Purple Kelly, that from now on, we will reserve the right to now have anybody who quits the game will decide whether or not to be on the jury. Like, why will Zena be glad to know this? Like, because the Nyanka will be in the, they're calling it the Nyanka clause?
The Nyanka clause. All she could do is smile and wave, just smile and wave. While Nyanka looks over there like, hey, mama, I was just like, oh, it was very uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable.
And it was one of those fake smiles, too. You saw that. She was like grinning to her teeth. She was like, rrr.
And then Jeff pivots.
But I'm on live TV.
He says, all right. And then when we come back, Sprint fan favorite. And I can tell you, Nyanka is not in the running.
How many daggers do you have to take at this woman? It was just going.
Mm-hmm.
While Purple Kelly was sitting there, I'm going to see Purple Kelly mama. Matter of fact, I want you to bring Purple Kelly's grandmama out here.
Yeah.
I want you to leave Zena right there. Bring Purple Kelly's grandma and let's have a conversation.
Yeah, she's just a follower, Purple Kelly.
She's just a follower. And they were in such a good position. And so I get Jeff's frustration, but I feel like honestly they wanted to embarrass them. And
yeah, they didn't want to have this happen again. They were blaming her for being a bad season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Let me ask the two of you, what do you think about, should Nayanka and Purple Kelly have been on the jury? Okay, so we had now, it was going to be a, I think it was a 9-person jury, and Purple Kelly and Nayanka both cast votes for Fabio, which did change the balance of who would have won. Chase would have won 4-3 if it wasn't for Purple Kelly and Nayanka being on the jury. AJ, what do you think? Should people who quit be on the jury?
So here's my thing. For the outcome of the season, I'm glad they were on the jury. Mm-hmm. But personally, I don't think they should have been on the jury. Like, you quit the game, you leave, you forfeit your rights to vote as a juror. That's how I feel personally. But if it kept Chase from getting a win, I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm. Jacob, what do you think?
I'm going on the complete opposite note of what AJ said. For the fact that who they voted for, I'm more pissed that they were on the jury. But no, absolutely not. They should not have been on the jury. It did piss me off every time that they walked in looking fresh and nice clothes and clean hair. And the fact that they still got to sit up there with the people that got eliminated and that were not quit. And so I don't think they should have been on the jury. I think they should have been kicked off, and it should have just been a 7-person jury.
Yeah.
And I think that should have been an easy thing.
So I went back and forth on this, and I think I probably was in the camp of if you quit, you shouldn't be on the jury. But I watched the final tribal council, and I really was thinking about this when I was watching it. And I felt like, you know, Purple Kelly kind of has like a nothing question that she comes in with for Sash. But I felt like that Nayanka came out and had like a, you know, good question for Fabio. She made him cry. And I felt like in a good way, like she was like got him talking about his mom, and she was really fired up about anti-Chase at that point. And I'm not exactly sure why. And she, I thought that like that just because they quit, you know, like they were still there. They have like valid, like they had interactions with these people. So I kind of felt like, let them vote, you know. But now we have such big juries. It didn't bother me in this season, but like I kind of feel like on these seasons where we have like a 13-person jury, like if you quit, like we've got enough jurors. We've got enough.
We got more than enough, my guy. Like, calm down.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know what to do, and I don't know if this has ever come up since then. Where okay, if somebody quits, they're not going to be on the jury. We're going to touch their prize money, and I'm trying to think. I don't believe.
Do you think John Rocker's girlfriend would have been on the jury if she hadn't quit and just been voted out?
So she gets voted out right, or she quits right before the jury. So yeah, I don't know what they would have done with her. It's a good question because she was like a nothing character. I can't imagine that they really.
But like me personally, I would love it if they did so she couldn't see John Rocker. But I'm just a cynic.
Like, you know, we're punishing you. You are going to be on the jury.
Just for spite.
Yeah, I don't think that. Spite. And we don't have the chat with us here tonight, but I don't think that there is a person that was in the 30s who went on to quit at this late stage in the game. But, you know, like Nayanka and Purple Kelly, they like said, okay, we don't even want, we're quitting today. Don't, you know, we don't even want to have a tribal council, but like other people quit the game all the time. Like, frankly, somebody who got like a really glowing edit in this season, Jimmy Johnson quit the game.
I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted.
He was celebrating.
And the reason why I'm disgusted is because the tribal that he went out, it was so clear what he should have done to stay in the game that he was just like, all right, well, it's my time. I'm happy to leave. I'm like, are you serious? And he gets a glowing review, you know, but it's absolutely undeserved. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I have more respect for people that's like, you know what? I'm packing it up. Let's go. There's someone who wants to keep going. Like, guys, just vote. Next time it's fine, just vote me out. Like, no, I want to see people who wants to play the game. And if you don't want to play, go home. We don't want you here. If you don't want to be here, we don't want you here either.
Okay. I'm sure that we'll come back around
with loves and kisses
to the quit a bunch as we talk about Survivor Nicaragua. So Survivor Nicaragua has a theme here of old versus young. When I watched this episode or this season for the first time, I was much closer to being on the LaFleur tribe. As I watch it now, I'm on the Espada tribe. I feel like that people feel like this theme did not work. This was a bad idea, old versus young. But when I was thinking about it, Jacob, what's the difference between this theme, which people did not like, and Millennials versus Gen X, which people regard as a very good season?
You bring a very fair point. And while you were talking, I was thinking, okay, he's going to bring up that point, which it's not that much of a difference.
Is it just the cast?
It's just the people that they casted to make the difference of the age gap per tribe. Because I feel like if you brung a lot of people from Millennials versus Gen X, it will be a completely different season from where, you know, we have Nicaragua, or we have the old tribe versus the new tribe. And with the old tribe, with the new tribe, it was a lot of players from the get-go that wanted to really play. And we saw that a little bit from the older tribe. But I feel like the older tribe was just more... I know the younger tribe seemed more laissez-faire than anything, but I feel like the older tribe seemed a lot more laissez-faire, and they didn't really have that that I was looking for to really make a dynamic run for this game. And that's why most of them got taken out before. And so there really isn't that much of a difference between the people that were cast, besides the people that were cast.
I agree. It's the people that were cast. I think you look at Millennials versus Gen X. Gen X was ready to go. Millennials were ready to go. LaFleur was ready to go. And Marty was ready to go.
Jane was too.
Yeah, both the tribes are kind of train wrecks, and there's a lot of fighting between everybody on the tribes. But I do feel like that more of the duds on the cast, I kind of feel like are on the young people tribe.
Okay, for the duds in personality and specific gameplay, I believe I got more character development out of the older tribe than I did out of the younger tribe. That's what I will agree with you on. So I did like, so when we saw Jimmy T being chaotic and cracked out as anything, and then we look over to the younger tribe, and it's like we have Elena, who I really didn't see much. We had Kelly B, who was like, you know, her leg, and then really didn't see much. And so I feel like the character development and the story arc for characters were much more highlighted with the older tribe than it was with the younger tribe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You got Naoko on your tribe. You're not getting no screen time. Like, no one cares about you. Like, you tried. Wrong season.
Yeah.
See you next time.
But on that younger person tribe, like, and again, I don't know how many of these people are recruits, but you had Alina, who was like such a, we did not get to know her. We had Kelly B, who, other than she has a artificial limb, that she had no other character trait that we ever discovered in the show. Benry, I don't really know what he's about. Not to mention, Purple Kelly, who has become like the meme of this person on Survivor that doesn't get to talk. Even some of the other people. Chase, how is this person the biggest celebrity that has ever come out of Survivor? Because he was such a kind of a zero personality.
Wait, you thought he was a zero? I thought he was a hero.
Hero.
That's why I am a Chase stan, along as well as Brenda, but I love Chase this season. His chaotic energy, his emotional distress.
Get out of here.
I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And I think he deserved to win, but that's another point for another day or for today. But I feel like Chase brought a lot to this season. I feel like he brought chaos, not like in a very out there, like rah, rah way, but in his gameplay, he flip flopped like a mug. And I felt as though that was entertaining. And people are like, oh, you did this so much. How are you to the end? Yo, the man did everything he needed to do to make it to the end. If he would have did one thing differently, who knows if he would have still been there. From the first episode where the younger tribe went to tribal and we saw what he did, I was like, oh, Chase, I like a chaotic king and I have to stand.
Yeah.
But so, Jacob,
let me ask you about this. So do you feel like, was there any agency in the chaos that was coming out of him? Because to me, it seemed like that he would just whoever he was talking to, he would tell them yes. He was like a people pleaser. He would tell them whatever they wanted to hear, because he just wanted people to like him. And then would go back on those deals, and not like that where Sash was more of like, okay, I am lying to this person. I know I'm going to backstab them. Mm-hmm. I think every time Chase told somebody he was with them, he really was. And then the next person talked to him, and then he ended up just screwing people over left and right. But I feel like it was more accidental.
Some call that being a snake. I call that playing a fluid game where you can easily maneuver your way through any type of situation. And I feel like Chase did. When she talked to one person, he might have had their back, but then another person probably offered a more enticing offer to him where he was like, well, I'll be down with y'all over there. Let me go over here. And it's kind of like once you say I have a Tootsie Roll in my hand. Mm-hmm. And then no. And then AJ brings a Starburst. I'm like, Tootsie Roll. I don't want the Tootsie Roll. I want the Starburst. Yum, yum, yum. And it was like, what's the most shining and attractive offer that I can find? And he went that way. He was looking out for himself in every aspect. He didn't care about allegiance. Just at a certain point, he did. But at a certain point, he didn't. And I like that. People are like, Chase, you did too much. You flip up too much. You were too emotional. Yes, he was all that and some. But he made it to the end playing that way. And honestly, I'm a fan of it.
Chase is a person who lacks conviction. That's why people wanted him. You didn't see people going to Holly be like, Holly, come and join us. No, Chase was so flippy floppy, so watery. Like you could like tell him like, oh, it's dry out in Nicaragua. He'd be like, well, I guess it's dry out in Nicaragua. Who knows? Yeah. Like it used Chase because they said Chase is the easiest piece to pick up. Like that is it. You can say he had agency. He did not have agency.
He did.
For what, Brenda? Because he wanted to, like, you know, with Brenda? Like, no, get out of here.
No, even with, did you, I feel like every time Chase turned his back on someone, they were hurt. And I feel like that shows a little bit of agency that he did have.
Let me tell you what Chase did.
Tell us,
AJ.
Chase was like, are you backstabbing me? Oh, I don't know. Guys, are we going to backstab her? I guess we're going to backstab. Listen, if you're going to backstab someone, say it with your full chest. Don't be hiding behind Holly or Sash or Brenda. Like, get out of here with that mess.
Yeah.
As a moral compass, I agree with you. But as a player, I wasn't in that season, but as a person looking at Chase's game, thinking like, Chase made it to the end, and he did everything he needed to do. He had agency with the people that felt like that Chase had their back. He had agency in that department. Was it the most, did he make always the best, the moves that I would have made if I was in his position? No, but I feel like he didn't give a damn about no one but himself. No, and I love that.
I disagree. I feel like that he wanted everybody to like him, which is different than I feel like you're describing Sash. Sash didn't care ultimately. Like he was ready to never see these people again. He was ready to tell them whatever they wanted to hear. He's ready. He's calling Jane like you're my mom. You're my second mom. He knew he was going to vote Jane out. He just wasn't very good at like sort of being able to do those things and keep people liking him. I think that that Chase, he just wanted everybody to like him and didn't want to tell anybody no. I don't think it was so much like, okay, I'm going to field all these offers, because why did he tell every single person he's going to take them on a reward? Like there was no way that he wasn't fielding the offers. He told everybody.
Okay.
And it would probably one thing if he was like throwing the challenges. He went
and then he would win.
Won.
And then he had to, okay. Like, oh man, I had to pick. Oh, it wasn't think this through.
Probably I'm giving Chase a little bit too much credit here. But I believe I do. I'm a Chase fan. I like Chase. I believe that AJ, one thing you said that I do agree with is that he had no conviction. He had absolutely no conviction, but I don't think, okay, you know, when a player does some backstabby things, but they don't want to be portrayed as a backstabber, but they, in their mind, they're like, I don't really care. I felt like Chase was like a person that didn't want to be perceived as a mean guy or a bad guy. But I feel like he always had himself at the front of his mind. But I feel like just the portrayal of what Chase wanted to put out there as a guy from North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina.
Okay, North Carolina. I'll say South. Yeah. I always get those confused.
No, Jane, if you're watching, we're sorry.
Sorry.
It's okay. But you won't be seeing Jacob in North Carolina no time soon.
No time soon. But I feel like he wanted to portray that image of like a Southern gentleman, and he just didn't want to backstab. But I feel as though in his hearts of hearts, he thought, okay, I need to do what I have to do, but I don't want it to be perceived as I'm just like not giving a damn about anyone.
Do you think that Chase perhaps, that he went on to superstardom after the show, do you think that he might have been thinking ahead of like, hey, I do not want to do anything villainous on the show. I don't want to be the bad guy because I have this persona, this brand that I'm trying to build. Do you think, did he have agency in that way, where he just wanted to be the hero of the show?
I don't know if the stardom of him being a top country artist was in his mind at that time. I just think my mom was watching, my meemaw's watching. I'm from North Carolina. I gotta be good. I think that was in his mind. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a villain. Like Chase is coming in, kind of the standard white guy that we see, bulky, athletic, good looking.
Yeah.
Country, and he just like, yo, he probably have never had any type of flack in his life, and he's like, I just want to portray myself the best way that I can. Mm-hmm. But I still feel as though his game mindset was self-centered in every turn, and I feel as though that is why he made the moves that he won, that he did in the game. But yeah. I do feel as though he did have some like how he wants to portray himself to the outside world.
Okay.
I think Chase is just straight up a nice guy. He's like straight up, he's nice, he's kind, and he likes it when people like him. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we need. Like it came to a point where it was misleading. Like he gave people false hope, and people don't like false hope. Like tell it how it is. People will give you more respect if you just be like, listen, this ain't going to happen. This ain't going to go down. Like, look, at the final fours, Fabio was like, Sash, are we going to vote you? Were you going to vote you out? No, we weren't going to vote you out. Chase, were you going to vote us out? Probably I'm going to vote you out. That bought him more respect, being straight up and honest, like, this ain't happening, than him being flip-floppy whimsy.
Yes. All right, well, I didn't expect to talk so much about Chase's game here, but, you know, we have these three people that are in the final three, and I do think that, like, watching this again, this was a very interesting final three, because it's not usually where we get, like, three very different, distinct game styles where really any of the three of them could have ended up winning. You have Fabio, who did win. You had Chase, who could have won, came up ultimately one vote short. And then you had Sash, who probably played the best strategic game and ultimately gets zero votes in the finals. And I thought that Sash was actually very interesting to go back and watch, because I feel like that Sash played a amazing strategic game, but I feel like that he is a flawed player in that I feel like that there was some part missing from the social game where he just didn't have whatever that thing is where you can stab a person in the back and then they want to turn around and vote for you. He did not have that thing.
Sash was a very slimy person. Like, yes. You look at him, you're like, I don't trust you. I don't like you. No, get away from me.
But people and did like him and trust him. But then ultimately he betrayed them, and every single person is like, I hate you.
They were like, I hate you, because he would give them that smile. They would give them that little wink and stuff. Like, I think it's a situation where Sash was looking at how am I going to get to the end? How am I going to get to the win? It didn't, and forgot that, oh, these are people. These people have emotions and feelings. Like, I do believe he played the best game strategically of the three people, but this is a social strategy game. And if you are lacking in the social connections, which he did have because people did come to him, but people felt so bad by him after he turned on them. Mm-hmm. It was like, Chase, who was Mr. Promised the World to Everybody and did not deliver, they felt better about him than they felt about Sash.
Yeah. Jacob, one of the things that I think that Sash did, which I think is a big no-no in these games, is that I think that he made deals with people based on things outside of the game. And we saw it a little bit with Jane when he's like, hey, you're like my mom. And I think that he like brought things into the game that weren't necessarily like part of it. He wasn't like, hey, let's have a final three deal. He's like, hey, you're part of my family now. And I think that he just made like swears with people, like about things that he personally didn't care about, but things that they did care about, that ultimately just when he crossed them, like, how could he do this to me?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. But I want to give Sass the benefit of the doubt where I really liked Sass at the beginning of the game.
Yes.
Towards the end, his confessionals made me turn opposite of him. Mm-hmm. But I really loved him toward in the beginning. But I feel like Sass is a savvy type of guy. Someone referred to him as like a used car salesman in the season. And I feel like he prepped for the show and to see how can I have people kind of indebted to me. I honestly think he read like a social book. What was the book that someone read? Cass read?
How to Win Friends and Influence People?
Yeah.
Yes. I honestly feel like he might have read a book like that and he was just throwing out anything to make the people latch to him, like with a tight bond, like, hey, you're just like my mom, Stephanie. Like, y'all sound the exact same, to create that undying bond. And I don't think he thought about the effect, okay, I will turn on you and I have to deal with the consequences. So I feel like he went into the game thinking, how can I just create super tight bond?
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like he went into the game knowing that he was going to play as slimy and as cutthroat as he did.
Yes.
So I feel like the latter end of that wasn't in his subconscious when cutting the people. And I feel like that was all, you know, that's also like a thought of his. But I like Sass. Sass played the game. I feel like I loved watching how he set plans into motion, how he got others to kind of join him along in that plan. And he had some social capital to a certain extent. And so I don't want to say Sass didn't have any social game. And so he did have some, but I feel like he went too deep into, you are just like my mom. Like, I want to take you home. Yeah. I want my mom to make you cabbage and pie when we get there. We're going to watch, you know, a movie. And so he went too deep on the personal line.
Not Gulliver's Travels. Yeah.
Yeah,
I say he has social game, obviously. I say it wasn't great because I remember those early days of Survivor Nicaragua.
Yes.
Where people was like, we can't even approach Sass right now. Like, he is over with the girls. Talking to him is a mute point. Like, people were not willing to talk to Sass. He had his group and he was like, this is turf wars. Like, this is my group. And they were like, he's not ever going to be a part of our group. So why even give him the light of day? Like, and I think that's a flaw in his game. I think another flaw is he has no line. And he says, look, guys, y'all should respect that I don't have a line. I'm willing to do anything for the game. Y'all should respect that.
Yes.
While realizing other people have lines and they're grading you based on their line,
yeah,
not based on what your line is.
And I feel that as the person who, as AJ says, like, has no line, like, I feel like that he did not do a good job as basically, like, he's the villain of the show coming down the stretch. He did not own or embrace that or give us like any sort of like good TV down the stretch. So I feel like Sass, he was a good player. Like, he was a smart strategist, but I feel like that's one of the reasons why maybe this season did not land, where the guy who is willing to play the hardest, like, is not giving us that kind of good villain TV. He just was not like embracing it.
Yep, I screwed you all over. I backstabbed you. I am bathing in your blood. Now give me the million.
He gave us a little bit in confessional, but he did. He said, guys. Yeah, he was not a great TV character.
He was really overconfident, and that's the aspect that I just didn't like to see. Specifically talking about his confessionals, because I see Sasha's game, and I love a fluid game where you can hop from one alliance and kind of maneuver your way into another one. Even though he was kind of at the bottom, so he kind of had to do that in many aspects. And I feel like Sass played a kind of fluid game, especially going towards the latter end when he started working with Dan and sort of Benry a little bit, just having some rapport with them.
Yeah.
But his confession was really like, did not have anyone going towards him, because Sass was running the game at his tribe for a little bit. But to a certain extent, Sass, he was a pivotal vote at certain points, but I don't think that is perceived as running the game as he made it seem like he was in his confessionals. And so it was an overpromise with an underdeliverance of the product. So,
I think something important that Sass did that was really good, and I'll give him props for this, is he made himself an important figure. For example, after Naoka and Purple Kelly quit, he was already on Naoka's chase and all them sides. But he's like, nope, I'm going to force myself into the middle of these two alliances. They're going to have to come to me when they know Chase is a flimsy frick. But they was like, he was like, I'm the swing vote. Come to me. I will go to either side.
Yeah.
Like, he says, Yeah.
The show really set it up too. Like in the previous Leon, after Nayanka and Purple Kelly quit, they're like, Jeff Probst is like, previously on Survivor, have you ever had one of those days where nothing goes right? That's what life is like for Sash. Like it was like, what is this? Like the opening to like a sitcom?
I saw that and I was dying. And I was like, they were trying to help Sash paint that picture that he wanted to paint.
Yeah.
But just a little bit, and his personality came up short.
But I have to give Sash credit too, because that he like got himself into a good position in the beginning of the game. And then after Brenda went home, like then he was kind of like on the outs there, even though he was working with Nayanka and Purple Kelly. Then Nayanka and Purple Kelly quit the game, who are kind of like his final three at that point. And he's able to sort of like build himself back up and get back up from that position where like he got screwed over like pretty badly by those two going out of the game. And then he ends up like flipping around what he's doing. And I wonder that, do you think that the Nayanka and Purple Kelly quitting ultimately ends up hurting the women that are left in the game, maybe more so than it ultimately hurts Sash? Because I think that when Marty takes the guys on the reward and Marty is trying to get the whole guys thing together, it ultimately, it doesn't go anywhere. That they fake out Marty and they tell him it's going to go somewhere. But after Purple Kelly and Nayanka quit, you know, Sash sort of like plays with that idea of like, okay, well, let me go with Dan and Benry and Fabio, and ultimately like that, you know, and Chase, like the guys do end up sticking together by the end of the game, where it's Holly who's the odd person out, where if Nayanka and Purple Kelly stayed, maybe you don't end up with an all guy final three.
I think it really did help Sash more than it hurt Sash, because I think in the current situation he was fifth on that line. It was Holly, Jane, Chase, Nayanka. That was the core four. And Sash was just a tag along. We just need four votes right now.
Mm-hmm.
And with Nayanka and Purple Kelly quitting, it put Sash into that pivotal fourth person role. So it was like, oh, it's us four. We're locked in. And that's what they were promising Sash to the end of the day, up until Sash said, Jane, I don't want you no more. So I think this helped Sash. This made it his road to the final three easier with Nayanka quitting, even though at the time it seemed like bad, because Nayanka and Purple Kelly seemed like two good people to sit next to if you're anybody at this point.
We'll be right back talking about Fabio's win here with Jacob Jones and AJ Norris. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor, our friends over at Monk Pack. Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious food that you can count on. They are sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. You know, healthy snacks have a bad reputation. Let's be honest. A lot of them don't taste very good. They don't fill you up, and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. But this episode is sponsored by Monk Pack, who makes snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with 1 gram of sugar or less. Monk Pack, keto nut, and seed bars. Yes, seed bars.
Seeds, baby.
Yes, that they contain 1 gram of sugar or less, 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, and they're only 150 calories. They're great for anybody following a keto lifestyle, and they're the perfect snack for anybody who is trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste. Even if you're in the older tribe, you'll feel like you're in the younger tribe. Monk Pack is great because that they are snacks that I can have on the go that are not going to be loaded with calories and sugar. I'm telling you, get Purple Kelly or Nayanka one of these out there, and they would have been back in the game for at least another 10 days. Monk Pack, keto nut, and seed bars have the perfect balance of sweet and salty and crunch from whole nuts and seeds, baby, but still manage to be soft and chewy. They come in delicious flavors like caramel sea salt dark chocolate, and peanut butter dark chocolate. Of course, anything peanut butter and chocolate brings me back to my heyday in the Amazon, and they're a perfect snack for any time, perfect to satisfy your sweet tooth without guilt. Enjoy Monk Pack keto nut and seeds bars as a quick breakfast while running errands or after a workout. In addition to being keto friendly, they're also gluten-free, plant-based, non-GMO, with no soy, trans fat, sugar, alcohols, or artificial colors. They taste incredible. incredible. You can't beat the low sugar nutrition or taste they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door. Try for yourself anytime, and you'll see we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com, entering promo code RHAP at checkout. And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whatever you prefer. To get started, go to monkpack.com. That's MUNKPACK.com. Select any product, enter promo code RHAP at checkout, and save 20% off your purchase. Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious food you can count on. We thank them for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Now let's get back to talking about Fabio. Okay, we haven't talked much about Fabio at all, who's the winner of the season out of this final three. Jacob, I notice you're rolling your eyes when we talk about Fabio. He didn't do anything for you?
I kind of, in the beginning stages, every confessional that Nyanka had about him was literally my mind. And I don't think that Fabio should have won this season. Towards the end of the game, Fabio really didn't have a game to play besides winning crucial competition. And looking at the people left in the game, it was kind of like Fabio really didn't have any room to maneuver. So it is a fault of his, and it's not a fault of his just because the people that were in were so loyal to each other. But I just felt as though Fabio was lost for a lot of chunks of this game. And at least Chase had a pulse on the game where he knew Chase voted in the majority numerous times, where I feel like Fabio necessarily didn't, and his allies kept leaving. And he just had to win competitions. And it was the lack of strategy for me. With Fabio, that I honestly, people can, you know, crap talk Chase all they want, but I feel like Chase has strategy. And I feel like Fabio, he fit the niche type of person that CBS and Survivor needed. You know, you changing your name or you getting your name changed from Judd to Fabio. And then you have the long hair, you're good at competition, you have these duh moments. He fit that character, he fit that archetype very well. But I just don't think that a sweet guy that was kind, that won competitions, deserved to get the $1 million. And so I've never been a fan of Fabio / Judd. I don't think I ever will be a fan of Fabio / Judd, because I'm such a fan of strategic and fluid gameplay that I just did not see that in Fabio's game.
AJ.
Yes, Rob.
Yes. Are you more of a Fabio defender?
I love Fabio so much. I love him with all of my heart. Fabio can do no wrong in my eyes. Fabio is Brett had he won that final immunity in Samoa. Like, Fabio is that person that just happens to be in the wrong side of the power structure. And what the people love, they love to see the power structure get screwed over, get toppled over. Fabio was not... I don't think Fabio won because he was Fabio, but because of what he represented, the avatar. Jane, Sass, Chase said, listen, Jane's going home next, and then one of Dan and Fabio is going home, and then the other's going to go home after that. We got this on lock. No one wants to see that story. So the fact that Fabio against three people was able to stick it out to the end, it's not so much what he did, it's what he represented. He was the anti-power structure of the season. So I understand clearly why Fabio won. I also just happen to like Fabio, like, as a person. I'm a super fan. I love the strategy. I love characters and entertainment first. Like, that's who I am at first. And Fabio is a character. He is silly. He is goofy as frick. Every time he came on screen, I smiled because he's cracking a joke or doing something stupid was happening to him. I love Fabio so much.
Yeah.
Maybe I just like emotionally distressed people. Mostly unavailable people. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have a guy who is really not a big part of the story for too much of the middle of the season. Sort of like you see him in the beginning of the show and they introduce him, and then you sort of like lose track of him like the whole middle of the way. And then all of a sudden in the finale, he comes out of nowhere and he's everywhere. But enough about Chris Underwood and the Edge of Extinction, which we talked about last week. But I feel like that's very similar, where just all of a sudden you have a guy who's like a complete non-factor the whole way. At least Fabio was more of a character in the season than Chris Underwood was. But I mean, Fabio is left out of every single vote. Does he vote for the right person? I think maybe on the Brenda vote might be the only time he votes for the right person after the merge, right?
Yeah,
He votes for Jane.
He votes for Jane,
which we can talk about. Which was actually like a bad move, and we'll talk. We'll talk about that next.
I am a big proponent of the person who wins the season impacts how well this season is received, and the fact that Fabio was the winner of
he voted
season,
for Alina also. It, yeah.
Oh, who cares? The fact that he won the season, it hurt. I think his legacy, I think he's not viewed as positively as he would have if he was just a kooky character. And I think it hurts the season as a whole. However, I don't think any of the people in the final three would have been a satisfying winner to this season.
Yeah.
Personally.
Chase.
No. I think Holly would have been a satisfying winner. I don't think he'll be 34 if Holly won, because I think we see this story arc of this woman who had an emotional breakdown, go crazy in the beginning, grow into this one of the biggest strategists on the season. Like, I think that would have been a better story to tell. But then what's this story of Fabio winning? Fabio was here, he disappeared, and he won a few challenges. So that's not a good story.
I think I was less impressed with Fabio than the last time I watched this season, which I kind of felt like that coming out of like when I watched this for the evolution of strategy. I think I felt like, he says like, hey, I'm playing dumb. Hey, like that's the smartest thing. But he's never in the know. Like, he has no agency, like no say in any vote. Like, there's never a time where people are asking his thoughts on like what to do. At one point he says, hey, I won't vote out Marty. In the pre-merge, but that's about it. He gets snowed really hard on the Benry vote, where even Benry and Dan were like, we're going to vote him out. So he didn't know that Benry was going home, and he didn't know that Benry and Dan had turned on him. And that's day 32. And then ultimately, just by the grace of winning those final three immunity challenges, which happens, that is a thing. I just came away really not impressed with Fabi. He's a super likable guy, but just as a game player, I mean, people are playing around him as opposed to anything that he is doing.
What I want 1,000%, and I believe that the votes for Fabio should have been split between Fabio and Sash, because I believe Sash deserved more votes than he got. But his jury question was like meh a little bit. But yeah, I agree with everything you said, Robin. That's why I just can't see Fabio, anytime I look back on season 21, I don't look back on the winner with a smile. I look back on it with a side eye and with a grin, just because I'm like, what did Fabio do besides likable guy, one essential challenge that he needed to? But when I watch Survivor, I don't really watch for the competitions. I watch for the moves that you make when you don't say half power, things that you can find, things that you can maneuver your way through. And I just feel like Fabio, he maneuvered his way through it, but it wasn't in a way of outwitting. It was just in a way of, I guess, outplaying in a sense, because he won the competition in a way. But it's very lackluster for me. And it brings down my mood when I have to talk about Fabio winning season 21, because I just feel like it was too... winners that I feel like honestly deserve way more. And I love scrappy players, and I feel like the other two people definitely kind of resemble that a little bit more. Well, Fabio kind of did, but
yeah.
Like, the final for Tribal Council was the first time Fabio was like, oh, I'm going to know what's going to happen this vote. Like, if that's the first time you know that, you shouldn't win the game. Like, it's not a great game.
So there's a point at the final six Tribal Council, and this came up a little bit when we did on Outwit, Outplay, Outlist last week with Mike Bloom and Frail Mary. We were talking about the like funniest Jeff Probst comments, and this was actually from Survivor Nicaragua, where Jeff Probst says at the final six, when Jane comes into the Tribal Council, is like, oh, I'm getting voted out tonight. And Jeff's like, wait, hold on. So they told you you're getting voted out? And Jeff says, well, if my mom was watching the show, she'd say, well, why don't you vote out one of them? And it was a great point. It was a great point. Jane knows she's going home. Fabio, he's immune. Roll the dice, baby. Him and Dan put their votes also on Jane. Like, Fabio, yes, he goes on to win, but only because he won three immunity idols. I mean, that this is pre, you know, Sierra, you know, forcing everybody to go to rocks in Survivor Blood versus Water. But they should have put three votes on Jane and gone to rocks. What did they have to lose?
Like, this is Fabio's. You can go, Jacob.
We see so many moments now of people getting up and stepping to the side and talking in whispers now in Survivor. And I just wish that would have been the case in season 21, because it made no dang sense for them to sit there with a puzzled look on their face while Jeff Probst is telling them a foolproof strategy. Jeff Probst was telling them what to do.
Yeah.
And it's like these people are like, I'm just gonna sit here and enjoy it. Get your behinds up, go to the side, and talk about what you're gonna do. And they were all right there. They could have.
Yeah.
Like they should have straight up. If Jeff says, "Hey, let's do this thing," Jane was like, "Hey, why don't we all just vote out Holly? They got two idols over there."
She voted for Seth. She didn't even vote.
She voted Jane,
and he had an idol. He had an idol.
It was so stupid, that entire vote.
So
it would have been at least, I don't care if he failed. It would have been something to say, "I did this. I took a swing." Like, he just said, "I'm going to be idle and just let them steamroll me and pray to God, I win these next."
And maybe it's more Dan's fault, but it wasn't like, for at least Fabio was like, "Well, maybe I'll win all the immunities." So for Dan was never going to win an immunity. I don't know what he was thinking in that spot, because if they put three votes on Jane and then the other three votes are on Holly, okay, Sash and Chase, they both are going to play their idols, and Fabio is immune. So then would they tie, and then maybe would Dan just go to a rock then if they couldn't? Is he the only person that would Dan might automatically be eliminated? So maybe it's not as bad. Maybe, but I bet they didn't think it through.
They didn't think it through. You can tell in their looks.
Sit there and tell me that Sash and or Chase would not have thought about it. Be like, "Do I really want to do this right now? Like, I could beat Dan in an immunity challenge." Mm-hmm. And Holly is probably the third biggest threat left on the board. Mm-hmm. So why not, like, try to take this shot, take her out? And who am I supposed to be scared of? Dan? Dan's supposed to scare me? Get out of here with that mess. No. Yeah.
Like, the moment I was thinking about, do you think that Dan, Fabio and Jane were thinking that Sash or Chase was going to use their hidden immunity idol on Holly? Because that crossed my mind while watching it. And I was like, maybe they, but I feel like I'm giving them too much credit the strategic department.
Sash would never.
Here's the issue.
Chase might.
The issue.
I was thinking Chase may.
Jane was in her feelings. They told her they were going to vote her out. So she wanted to have a pity party for herself and then put out the fire. And she ain't say, "Let me get myself up by the bootstraps and get Dan and Bobby over here, create a plan." Like, she was too much self-pity that no matter what she could have did at that point, it was like too little too late. Goodbye.
I'd like to talk about Holly a little bit here, because we're talking about Holly. Would she have been the satisfying winner of the season? I feel like that she was in such a good spot, and I'm looking forward to, we're going to talk to her this weekend. T-Bird has tracked her down. We're going to do a talking with T-Bird to coincide. It worked out so great when Gandia listened to the Thailand podcast, and then we talked to Gandia right after we did Thailand. So we're trying to sync these up if we can a little bit. So we're going to talk to Holly on Talking with T-Bird over the weekend. But I feel like that Holly, after she gave up her spot at the reward for Gulliver's Travels, I feel like that she's like, "I got this thing." I feel like she took her foot off the gas. I feel like she just coasted the rest of the way.
First off, I want to say I'm so impressed with T-Bird tracking down Audie. Like, who needs to FBI?
She does not sleep.
T-Bird
if she's looking for
FBI.
You, you're in trouble. She'll find you.
But Holly definitely took her foot off the gas. And you can, I agree with you, Rob. Right after that reward challenge, you saw kind of her just flow into a level of being comfortable. We've seen Holly play from a game of, "I don't know how this is going to go," or "I do," and I can kind of be like that boss woman that I am and kind of like lead the charge on that. And it was very disheartening to see her. I'm not going to say she lost heart, but for her to just flow into that level of, "All right, like I'm good. You know, I have Sash, I have Chase, and I have Jane at that point," and her not really creating any things to elevate her game at that point. Probably she felt like, "Oh, I can't do anything else to win, so I'm just gonna like coast and see, you know, where can I go." But it was very like the lighter got let out from Holly's game a little bit.
It reminded me very much of Tyler Crispin and BB20. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I have this clear path to the end and victory seems like almost inevitable for me. So I don't need to try as hard so that way I can get the win. And like, listen, if Holly's sitting next to Sash and Nayanka or even Chase, I think Holly might win. Probably not with Jayne. I don't think she'll beat Jayne.
Well, that's the question, because I feel like that I wonder if that, you know, what she was all about was sort of like being strong, integrity. And like, I wonder if she needs to go to the end with Jayne. I know everybody's saying that, oh, Jayne, nobody will vote for Jayne. But there were people that didn't like Jayne that were going to be on the jury, like the Martys of the world. and I feel like that she might have been able to find some votes when she tells the story. I gave up my spot at the reward. Like, but then instead, she's sort of like coasting to the end and being like, okay, well, Chase is wishy-washy, Sash, everybody's mad at him, like I'm gonna cream these two guys, like I got this if I go and sit with them. And I feel like that she aligned herself with the people that were sort of like the backstabbers, and ultimately they backstabbed her.
Yeah, and I have to just acknowledge that she, from the beginning, Holly was playing from a more bottom, the more bottom tier of the game at that point. And so I feel as though she had to like fight. And so once she got into that level of like, I feel like she was like, Survivor's already a stressful game. Let me try to be as less stressful as I can, and being able to, you know, I just think she saw the path and she didn't see anything getting in her way of it. Mm-hmm. And that created the level of complacency that we saw. But I do agree with you that if she would have bought Jayne to the end, I think it would have been a toss of who was the winner, because I saw with Holly that she had a great relationship with Nayaka. She had a good relationship with Kelly B. I know Jayne had like more of a relationship with Brenda. So those different aspects would come into play. But I think Holly definitely, if she continued with her foot on those players' necks like she did coming out of the gate, then we would have seen Holly at the end.
Yeah. I don't know if it was such a sure thing. Like, I feel like that Holly was with Benry and Holly was with Alina. So I just feel like that. I think that's an interesting question about her on the jury. Yes. Let's talk a little bit about Jayne, who I thought was very fun to watch here. I had forgotten, you know, what a big character she is on the scene.
Jayne was so fun.
Yeah. AJ, when she goes and catches the catfish by herself, I don't think anybody else in the history of the show has ever done this.
I couldn't believe that she went and even did it. Like, how are you just going to go out into the woods? I'm just going to go down the stream, catch some fish, and bring it back to y'all. But she says, I'm going to take a left into the woods. I'm going to sit down, put me out a table, a little napkin, give me my fork and knife, and eat me this little fish. And she started the fire by herself in the woods and still came back. And people were like, man, Jayne, you were gone for a minute. Like, how hard was it to check those traps? But like, I can't believe she had the audacity. Pause. I love that she did it, though. Like, that was one of my favorite moments ever. Like, I can't believe that she wasn't on camera, if I'm being honest. Like,
yeah, it's wild that she didn't play again. She goes on to win. Does she win at least two immunities during the season? And she ends up like with the sprint fan favorite. Usually they're like, all right, it's down to this person, this person, this person. Jeff's like, it wasn't even close. It was a blowout. Jayne is the sprint fan favorite. So I wonder, did she say no? Is that possible?
Well, I feel like she wouldn't have said no, because I feel like in a sense she's still kind of connected to the Survivor fandom, because I heard a story, and the only reason I see it is I heard a story of Jayne at I think it's Give Kids the it was the charity in Orlando. So she was there, and one of my friends from Sequester, they were like, oh yeah, Jayne like offered me a Jello shot. She said she didn't even know me, and she said, hey, come upstairs with me and my family and I'll give you a Jello shot. And so I feel like Jayne is like still sees the fandom, still is like in the Survivor sphere. And I don't feel like she would say no to that. And I feel like watching herself back, she had to know that she was like a boss of a player. She has to know that.
Because between they did Blood versus Water a couple years later. So yeah,
she brought her son. Like Jayne had so many. Like I would, to this day, I would love to see Jayne come. I mean, and the fact that she held on, like, in I think two of those challenges, and she was like, I want to beat these boys. Mm-hmm. And she held on. I'm like, how can you not put flowers on this woman's name and give and throw the $1 million at her if she plays again? And I'm just like, Jane definitely deserves a second chance.
And the way that she went out with so much fire.
Yeah. Well, with no fire, actually. She was like, I made the fire. I'm putting it out. Now, the story.
Wow, that's a Belle moment.
Yes. The story has always been that, and again, I feel like that, I'm pretty sure like that this is like, there's some fact, this is like maybe telephone game, but like Sash had said something to her along the lines of like, hey, like, you know, like you're getting voted out, but I'll get you some money. I'll pay your mortgage. When
Marty was the one that said that
Marty, well, she was pissed at Sash.
She was pissed at Sash. Why did I hear Marty?
She hated Marty from the jump. She did. That was true. But
Marty's also not coming to North Carolina.
Yeah. Supposedly that was always the thing that, you know, got that Jane was like super mad, but I'm kind of like, Jane, get that mortgage paid.
Get that mortgage paid.
Right?
But then that goes to what you said about Sasha's game. If he will throw your daughter's college tuition. Hey, I will cover that if you give me the $1 million under there. And after he just blindsided you, and that is a detriment to his gameplay. But I'm like, yo, Jane, go get your coins.
Yeah, but I wonder. I don't know exactly when this might have happened. But she writes his name down at the. She was like the most pissed at him. So I wonder if he like tried to like say that before they like. She was like, hey, Jane, I know you're going out tonight, but let me tell you about this. And she was like, get the hell out of here.
Because it does look like a very sad show, but I'm just mad that Sia wasn't watching Survivor at that time because Jane deserved more than.
Well, she got $100,000 from Sprint.
She did.
Yeah. So
she got 2 years worth of pay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot. Jeff asked her how much does she. I was appalled.
So I like to do on these, go through, I make a list of the good and the bad from the season. We've talked about a lot of this stuff, but let's just go through and make sure we don't miss anything. And I'm going to say just overall, theme-wise, I felt like that, like the aesthetics of the theme, I thought even though the weather was bad, I thought this theme looked good. That a good-looking immunity idol. I thought that I liked that the hidden immunity idol was key. I liked that there was a graveyard at Tribal Council. Don't blame the production design for anything you don't like about Survivor Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. You can go, Jacob.
No, I agree too. And I, as well as the aesthetics, I also want to give props to the competitions, which honestly, I love the layout of the competitions, the look of the competitions. And Rob, would you say like the aesthetics of the Tribal Council was beautiful? I feel like we like seeing the type of like intricate look of Tribal Council. We haven't really seen that in like more recent times, but I love the look here. And yeah, the competitions for me and the aesthetics of those that we saw. Dan in that humongous chair.
Gulliver's Travels.
It was just like an added, like they put that much more attention into this. I mean, they probably didn't know that two people would quit. So it probably was like, yo, I could care less about this season, but the aesthetics were definitely top tier.
Yeah. Looks good.
They were feeling themselves after Heroes vs. Villains. It's like, we can't like just let go of the gas pedal now. We got to keep this going.
Mm-hmm. The budget got better.
Mm-hmm. Got better.
And while definitely there were some casting misses, you know, there was a lot of tension at the tribes early on that it was so exciting over at LaFleur. You could say LaFleur is lava. So hot. Yeah.
Get out of here, Rob.
The floor is lava. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like their tribe, like every one of their tribals was so dynamic. Mm-hmm. I was wanting more. And it wasn't even like the strategy or the gameplay, you know, which was the dynamic part. It was the pettiness, the drama, the entertainment where I was like, I need more. And just the quite frank, just the all out, I don't like you, turn around, look at him, he annoys me, I don't get along with her. I lived for it. I loved it. I would like to see more of it. And
that was the old and the young.
Yes.
It got better after the swap.
It did. And so I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
100%. I think there was another tribal where I was like, oh, I got to write this down. This is such a good, oh my God, this was such a good moment with Jane, well, not Jane. Well, Jane with her final Sith tribal council, Marty giving it to Jimmy T, Bianca giving it to Fabio. Like, these people were like, I could care less about how you feel about me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you how I feel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the energy I want.
You have a great first boot in Wendy Jo, who is a unforgettable character.
Such a sweet lady. I feel bad for her. This wasn't the show for her. Her husband said it. This was like, you know, this was not the show for her at all.
No, but actually my husband said that I was actually, that he said that I was, I sing and I dance and I go around and I be crazy, then that's why they're going to vote me up first, but I didn't do any of those things. And I still don't have blisters on my feet.
You sound exactly like her. No. Think over her cameo.
She was great.
I love it.
I love Wendy Jo.
She was fun.
She was great. Also,
she was like, let's focus. She's like, I got something else to say.
Yes.
Yeah. Hold on, real quick. Now let's get back to it. I was like, come on, Wendy Jo.
And then also after that tribal council, then Holly comes back and she's upset because she had voted with Wendy Jo. And so she has like this great meltdown. And what is it? So Dr. Jill is like cutting up like squid or some other snails. And she's like, you can't eat those. That's poison. She's there's a meltdown. And then she's like, Dan was making fun of me. So she takes his shoes and fills them with sand and throws them away, AJ.
The audacity that this woman had. His $1,600. I don't own anything worth $1,600.
If you have $1,600 shoes, why do you bring them on Survivor?
You're on national TV. You gotta look good. Come on now. You know what I mean?
Like, listen, it's not just TV. He on primetime TV. Like, people are gonna be looking. He gotta be looking at his best. He gotta be dripping with his $1,600 alligator shoes and shit.
How many pairs of shoes did he have?
Apparently more than one.
I gotta bring my extra shoes. See,
but even that moment, because Holly was, she was off her rockers at that time. But the moment that it sent me was when she came back and she told him and she placed her hands on his knees while he was, and I was like, you gonna touch this man? Hey, I just want you to know I put your shoes into it. Zan. I'm like, get away from me, please.
Jimmy T is like, all right, I accept it. Yeah, all right, that's okay. He's like, Dan's like, hey, they want my shoes.
Oh my
Jimmy
God.
T forgave her.
We had a lot of those moments this season of like the confessions of like what you did bad. Mm-hmm. I did this bad. Let me confess it to the entire tribe, which I'm like, yo, keep that stuff a secret. But obviously people, you know, found out. But Holly just killed me when she literally, after you just dug this man thing, her conviction was like, I can't do this. Puts her hand on the man's knees.
His bad knees.
Yes. Just on his bad knees.
Yeah, did they go out and look for them also? Like, I feel like
they didn't show it, but I want to say Holly probably like knew exactly. So I just like, let me get them out. Did they retrieve them, right?
No, I don't think so.
They never
did. She gave him boots. Like, we'll ask her with T-Bird. Because she filled them with sand. You would think that they would be the same place that she left
them. That's what I'm thinking. Have we seen Dan in those shoes and other? I don't know. Good point.
Maybe Dan is so loaded that he's just like, I've got 9 other pairs. I'm not looking for them. They're ruined now.
His Ponderosa shoes.
Okay. Nayanka and Fabio, that they had such a great relationship. AJ, and it was, they fought, but then at the end of the show, what a great completion to this arc of Nayanka and Fabio. She loved him by the end.
Didn't that come out of left field?
I don't even understand what happened.
Like, they were butting heads the entire time. And even though Fabio's final tribal council speech, she was like rolling her eyes and stuff. Like, and it came out of left field, like, yeah, you're like my brother or something, whatever. I forgot what he said. Mm-hmm. And then she made him cry, like happy tears, and voted for him at the end. I was like, where did this come out? Like, y'all were cussing each other out. I thought you didn't like it.
Yeah. That's what's great about Nayanka. You know, she give the, you know, she's on, off.
You know how Nayanka feels. Like, she will not hide it from you at one bit. Yeah. And Fabio knew how she felt about him.
I don't know if you're going to touch on this later, Rob. Speaking of Nayanka again, I want to bring up this point.
Queen A.
The moment that people make such a big deal out of is the fact that, oh, you pushed and tackled this woman with a prosthetic leg.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Prosthetic leg. I'm like, they were both tussling over it. Nayanka probably gave her a quick little hit, a hip action, a little nudge, but it was in no way, shape, or form a tackle. It was a nudge, and I'm going to take this thing from you, and she ended up on the ground. I was honestly scared because I was like, her leg looked like it was like, you know, about to snap. I was like, oh, Lord, Nayanka, don't, like, calm down a little bit. But it was not a tackle on Nayanka's part. It was
she did say, don't leave that leg near the fire. She did say that.
That was terrible.
Every confessional that Kelly B was in the game, Nayanka brought up Kelly B's leg in the confessional. And I loved it. I literally loved it.
Nayanka was so much good TV. She brought it every second, every day. She said, I don't care if I'm a confessional. I don't care if I'm talking to Fabio. I am going to bring the entertainment. I'm bringing the drama. I'm bringing the fun.
Yeah. Well, I said this in the evolution of strategy about Nayanka, that's the biggest tragedy about that she quit, because she mm-hmm. quit, they had to like make this example of her. She would have played three times by now.
Oh, yes.
And she would have been out in Caramelwin. She would have been out on Game Changers. Like,
and Winners at War.
100%.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, but so that is an aspect that I'm sad about her legacy on Survivors, that like she quit. We can't celebrate how much great TV and how she was a star of the dim season that was season 21.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, and I'm confident, I think I can say this, that Nayanka will not play Survivor again. I don't think.
You think so? You think that? Because I feel like that there's a possibility.
No, that she won't.
Well, I'm saying I don't think there's a 0% chance that she would that she wouldn't play again. Like, I feel like, especially after now that they've done the diversity casting initiative, you know, the next time they do an all-star season of Survivor, like, I think they're going to look at some people that maybe they weren't looking at before.
Like, my fear is the Colt and Cumbie of it all. Like, Jeff was like, we brought that.
Oh, if she quit again.
Yeah, I think that's their fear. I think that's why we won't see her again. Even though I think if Nayanka was to play again, I don't think she would quit, because she didn't know what she was getting into with Survivor. What was she saying in your interview? She was auditioning for America's Next Top Model and got on Survivor.
I believe she's totally different shows. Yeah, she said that they found her, that she was like on the Santa Monica Pier. I don't even know if she was auditioning for trying to get on one of these shows.
That's like, the recruit that I love, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think now she's like, would have her. And it's also not like a fill up situation. Like, this is a girl who's going to bring the entertainment, and it's also a strategy. It's like, she came with entertainment, but she also came with the strategy too. Like,
yes.
I think that's so underrated about her as a character. Like, she brings, like, if you look for strategy, go to Nayanka. You want entertainment, go to Nayanka. You want confessionals, go to Nayanka. Nayanka gave them what they wanted.
Triple threat.
Triple threat. Yeah. And that's an avenue that people, you know, most of the time highlight her quitting. But she honestly did do a lot of things in the game while she was there. And I was definitely impressed with her gameplay. And I think the editing kind of stifled it a little bit just because they knew the outcome of it. They kind of wanted to gear it towards that lane. But Nayanka was very strategic, and she made moves that she needed to make. And I stand a strategic queen, not a quitting queen, but a very strategic queen.
I think she would have made a perfect candidate for the second chance ballot. I quit the game. I was viewed so negatively.
Yeah.
And now I want my second chance to redeem myself. Like, that would have been such a great story. I would have voted for her to come back in.
Yeah.
Or Blood versus Water with her mom. Since her mom was already on the reunion, Jeff wanted both of them. That would have been beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, if anybody feels like, okay, well, all right, Zena, can you say something to Nayanka? That, you know, she's... then also, Yes. Jimmy Johnson. I have him in my good list. Jimmy Johnson, that he was not much of a strategic force, but he's there for three episodes. Jacob, you don't like Jimmy Johnson on the season?
So it's not. I just don't like the way that he went out.
Yes.
And that is what I'm stuck at. It's because it was so obvious at that point what to do that you saw him like giving the towel. But the aspect of why I do love Jimmy Johnson is just the way that he was perceived around camp. People going up to challenges saying, put me in, coach, put me in, coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
How in the hell is like that type of tone, like that? You have that voice with this man, Jimmy Johnson, and he had all these, his resume was built for a great leader. Don't want to take that from him. But in a lot of senses, we've seen people have careers and it necessarily doesn't translate well in Survivor. Mm-hmm. And so I just didn't understand that. But he's like a huge coach. But I am stuck on the way that he left. And I just feel like he didn't try. But I did love the fact that he brought so many moments of people going, hey, coach, can you put me in? He was like the voice of the tribe. Mm-hmm. All right, so this is what we're going to do. No, you can stay back. We go get some water. Go get some water for the team. It was just like that type of boy that I love with Jimmy Johnson.
I put in my notes that Jimmy Johnson is such a light on this season. Like, he wasn't there long. I didn't like how he went out either, but he was really such a bright spot in the early days of Nicaragua. And honestly, if he wanted to stay, he could have made a semi-decent, like he would have had to fight Marty, and I would have liked to see that civil war between Marty and Jimmy Johnson.
Only Marty didn't like really him. Everybody else liked him around the camp.
If Jimmy Johnson wanted to stay and play the game, and I think he could have had potential as a player, I think he makes the merge easily.
Yeah. He was so positive. He was like a real like Ted Lasso with everybody, just like getting everybody pumped up. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the one that we see, like he talks to Holly and he's like, fear makes cowards of us all, or fatigue makes cowards of us all. And then she's like, then trying to pay it forward to Purple Kelly later. She's like, Jimmy Johnson told me back on day six. And he's trying to get her pumped up. It doesn't work on Purple Kelly, but Jimmy Johnson was good. And it is very funny where like there's like Jimmy Johnson is like leaning on Tyrone. Tyrone is Jimmy Johnson's guy. That's his QB1.
Like his QB,
he's sticking with him. And Jimmy T's like, I'm hot. Put me in, coach. Put me in.
And everyone kind of took notes of that. I mean, besides, the run that he loved, but everyone kind of went to Jimmy Johnson with that same type of cadence. And I just, Jimmy T in that moment of, I felt like Jimmy T, I feel like had like father issues a little bit, where he looked at Jimmy Johnson as like the father and like wanted to crave that, affection and affirmation from Jimmy Johnson. Like, come on, dad, can you believe that I can throw the ball? Put me in, dad, come on.
Yeah.
He just never got it.
I think he was just upset that people say, oh, we're listening to Jimmy. Jimmy is so great. I love talking to Jimmy. Oh, hi, Jimmy T.
He did say that in his confessionals. So I do believe that was a part as well.
Yeah. All right. What about Marty? That Marty's all over this season.
I would like to say, and y'all can fight me if you want, Marty is not a good player. Marty is a bold Survivor player, but he is not good at this game.
Yes.
I love Marty. I would love to see him again. He's not good.
So this is interesting because that on this watch of the season, you know, Marty will tell you constantly how he is the only person who's playing, the smartest player who's out there. Everybody else is dumb. Everybody else is playing dumb. But I do think that's probably not smart Survivor play to tell everybody how smart you are and how dumb and bad everybody else is playing.
And I feel like even going to where he told every, because I do feel like Marty had a great kind of good momentum and great partner in Dr. Jill.
Yeah.
I feel like that type of relationship really benefited him. But
the Trish to his Tony.
Oh, some can say so.
Yeah.
I love that analogy. But when he went to the new tribe and he told them, hey, guys, I just want to be completely honest with y'all. I have this immunity item. I'm going to hold it right here. Why? You are coming in with the number disadvantage. Why give them all the power? And I just feel like I feel like I'm trying to make excuses for him now, because I did love him as a contestant on the show.
He was made great
a lot of
TV.
Great TV, 100%. Great TV.
Yeah.
He was great.
It's like a minor league player playing in Little League. He's like, I'm playing against all these little people, but I'm the big dog. But once he gets to Major League, I don't know how good he'd be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He had great hair also. I have that in my notes.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal.
I hate his hair. His walk sucks.
Nayaka said that. Yeah.
Yeah, Naomi.
You gotta love
she still
it.
Wasn't
gotta
a fan it. When we talked to her. She didn't love it. But Marty and Jane, they have this big rivalry, and it gets not fun by a while. Like this kind of like this is a season where there's a lot of like, you know, there are fun moments of fighting, but then also like this gets like very personal, Marty versus Jane, to the point where that it becomes not fun, the battle between these two. They hate each other.
I agree. The fact that I am here like Naoka and Fabio fighting each other, going at each other back to back. It got to a point where it was like Jane felt like Marty had like crossed a personal line. And I get it. You think Jane's going to win. He's beating the drum that Jane is going to win this game. But I feel you didn't have to go as far as you did. And I don't think it's like, I don't want to watch this happen. Like, I don't want to see them play on the season together. It's like, can we just like get this over with? Like, either take your attention away from Jane, because you're fun. You're a fun person, Marty. Jane, you're a fun person. Together, y'all are toxic, and we don't deal with toxicity anymore.
Yeah.
Get toxic people out your life.
Yeah. Like, when they're at the tribal council and Marty is talking about how, like, Jane, she has the saddest story ever. Okay. Like, and then she's like saying it like, he's a bad dad. I would never let him like, and then at the finale, like I read a lot into Jacob when at the finale, Jeff's like, hey, are you guys friends? And they're like, no, not at all. We will never talk to each other ever again.
And it wasn't in a type of like funny or fun way. It was just like, I want nothing to do. And we was like, oh no, I have no plans of going there. It was just like, did it have to get this? Because I'm always a person, I know it's hard, but like after the game, I always hope that the players can just like see it as the game and, you know, can kind of look past certain personal remarks, in certain aspects, because they know the emotional capacity that it takes to be in that type of simulation like Survivor is. But the fact that they kind of carried that outside of it, and then we saw on the reunion, it was like, okay, Marty and Jane, okay. It wasn't the brightest part of the season.
Okay.
No.
All right, back to the highlights. Fabio peed in the pool, AJ.
On God, he did that to spite Naoka.
Yes. You think that that's why he did it?
He was like, Naoka's next. I gotta relieve myself. Let me just like tinkle.
Yes.
I did think that she was gonna say something, but like it was kind of on her downward slope for like emotional capacity. But I did feel like as
is that why she quit?
If she was,
she got honestly, some time to think about
honestly,
it.
Honestly,
did I swim in Fabio's pee?
Did I do that? Wow, my life is at an all time low at this point. And then like Jeff was like, "What were you doing?" Oh no, I'm getting up here. No, what were you doing? Oh, I was, you know, taking a piss. And he thought everyone was, you know, doing that in the pool. Like, oh, this is a common thing. Which in pools, I don't know if y'all probably don't do this. Do y'all pee in pools?
No.
No. What?
Okay.
No.
Never mind. I'm just quiet. Yeah.
Jacob, do you pee in pools?
I have to go.
If you have to, sir, get
is this a,
out
is this
of
a
there.
Joke? Is this a bit?
No. Okay. I like, if you're in a pool, and like you're no. like, I don't feel like getting out. Why not go to the restroom? I'm not taking a number two in the pool, but
yeah, well, know. Please, yeah. I hope
you're not. Like, oh my god,
oh my god.
What is this?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought when you peed in the pool, what if it has the coloring thing where it shows that I did something?
So that's when you get a little bit out and then you look around and see, and then like if it's not the case, then
so you check.
Let me stop.
Wow.
Oh my
god. This is gonna be the viral moment of this podcast.
Oh my god.
Goodness.
I'm happy I was here for this. Oh,
all right. I don't even know where we go from that. And you still wouldn't vote for Fabio as a fellow pool peer.
Absolutely not. Honestly, if I, and especially you're on TV where like things go like, because we don't know if they had a bathroom break. Fabio got in the water. He's good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He should have swam around to like make it at least.
Well, illusion of, like, I'm Jacob, not as someone who's peed in the pool, uh-huh. Have you ever expected someone to ask you, hey, did you just pee in the pool? Like, is that yes. a thing you expect people to ask?
If it gets warm in that area that I'm in, I expect eyes to be looked at.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is no one like, else in the pool.
My response would be, wouldn't you? And apparently I'm one of the, you know, not so hot numbers with this. Mm-hmm. So okay. Rob's just like, uh-huh.
I don't know. I feel like you're doing, this is a bit.
No, Rob, if I go to a swimming pool, I will use the restroom in the swimming pool. To me, why not?
I think there's chlorine, some reasons. Chlorine. Yeah.
Chlorine. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's honestly like, why not? It's convenient. I wouldn't do it around anyone. Mm-hmm. But if after a minute, if I go to the restroom and someone's swimming in that area, I'm not saying anything. I'm just like, oh, okay, what's up? How you doing, Tom?
Yeah.
And letting them go about their business. And hopefully now talking out loud about it, it is like more sickening. But
yeah, this is very brave, Jacob. I appreciate this on a podcast.
It's not easy to come out and say you pee in the pool.
I mean, once you're like 13 or like 11 or even 9 doing it, you're like, then you become 10, then, you know, 15, then, you know, I'm 23 now and I'm looking around like we are all doing this. I'm sure at some age you did, but then you were told, okay, it's not the best thing to do. But then you're to an age where like, hey, if I don't feel like getting out, if I'm eating a hot dog in the pool, now that sounds even worse. But yeah.
Yeah. Can we move on, Rob?
Let's move on.
This kid.
Okay. All right. What else? I think that was it. I think that was it for the show. Good night, everybody. All right. Let's talk about when in the pre-merge, Marty gets, he shows everybody, I've got the idol. Okay. Somehow the cojones on Marty Piombo that he doesn't play the idol when it's going to be the vote where Kelly B goes home. Do not ultimate read, best read ever. Or AJ, was this just a huge mistake?
This was the biggest mistake he could have made. I don't care if it worked out for you. In no world should this have worked out for you. In every world you would have been going home. Kelly B is not even that big of a threat.
Yeah.
Like, you're the one over here being like, I'm the grandmaster at chess. like you're talking about how much everyone else sucks. I would have voted him out. Like, especially with an idol in his pocket. Not only did they tie, they knew he had an idol and said, we're going to keep that around. Like, mm-hmm. Get out. And he didn't play it twice. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And then the next vote came and he said, bump it. I got balls of steel, my guy. Like, try me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. That's not what happened. What? He gave it to Sash, didn't he?
He gave it to Sash.
So
the second, the next time out, yes, they were going to split the vote between Dr. Jill and on Marty. And then they came up with a plan of like, what if we take his idol? And then we'll tell him ultimately that we will save him. And then if he needs it back at the next tribal council, which for Marty, you know, Jacob, I didn't think this was the craziest move. It ultimately, he's bought him an extra week being on the show.
It did.
He was. You know what else would have bought him an extra week? Playing the idol.
Yeah.
He never got it back. Mm-hmm.
I guess so. But I mean, he was in a place of just being desperate. Like, I know I'm on the outs. What can I possibly do? And I feel like the people in the game, he really didn't have that much room to kind of squeeze himself in there. He kind of already ruffled enough feathers. And so I feel like Marty felt, and he did, as though like, this is my only move that I can do at this time. Mm-hmm. He did it. And was it the smartest move? I think the outcome would have been the outcome if he would have used it that and he gave it to Sash. I just can't believe like, that Sash first off had the cojones to walk up to a person and say, hey, give this to me. Or basically, that's where I'm like that.
I think it's one thing if you are like a Tony Vlachos type. Like, mm-hmm. first off, he shouldn't have showed off, I got the idol. Sure, Jane would have told everyone, but that could have been like a bonding moment. Like, I'm going to let you in. I'm going to try to build this relationship with you and tell you that I have an idol. Like, that's not the thing. He says, save me. Please, master, save me. I need your help. Here is my idol.
Yeah. Like, I actually think it was a bad move for Sash to go along with this deal. And then and then also to save him at the next round, where I think that that really got Jane upset, where that, you know, Sash and Brenda were like, OK, we have to not vote out Marty this time. And Jane's like, why not? It's like, well, we promised him. She's like, well, what? Like, we should still vote him out. And like, they it was like, for just to keep this deal with Marty, they probably should have just voted him out. And Marty didn't even vote for Sash.
Exactly. So it didn't even pay off.
Yeah.
For a person that they were going to vote out the very next tribal. Like, they, I don't know what they were squeezing, but they were not getting juice out of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I do think they went too hard on really keeping Marty in the game, especially when they were up against Jane, and she was like trying to fight it as well as she can. But you, that would definitely a blind spot with them.
You are trying to appease Marty or keep Marty around, and all he has is Dan. Like, get out of here with this mess. Like, yeah. I don't know who they think they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I couldn't be me.
The merge, I think, starts off, it's very exciting, very fluid at the merge, and that's, I think, one of the better parts of the season. We do have the whole thing with Nayanka wakes up early. She makes tortillas for everybody, and then they do not leave her one. So she says, I'm going to go, and she took all of the stuff from the kitchen, and she went and buried it in the woods. And
where's the problem?
So, which is interesting, because it's just, you don't see this happen too often. And we just saw Jane do the same thing of like, hey, oh, I'm going to go catch a fish and bring all the cooking stuff. Like, it wasn't just, she took the food. She took the pans also. Like, she was going to cook tortillas in the woods. Like, nobody was going to know. So she didn't really think this through. She dug a hole. And then she gets poor Alina involved. And really, like, after everybody grills Nayanka, she comes forward and says it was me. And Alina, like, takes the heat for this.
I know.
It's like, oh, Alina, you knew?
I felt bad for her that moment, because she kind of just like kind of walked into the situation herself. Mm-hmm. But Nayanka just should have been more sly. Like, how obviously you see Holly sitting right there. Like, I would have had my eyes on Holly and my hand doing this the entire time, making sure nobody saw me. And the fact that Holly did, and she thought she could, like, play it off, I mean, that just goes back to Nayanka taking Fabio's talk at the first, you know, in the first week. And
not in Nayanka's defense, but I think everyone was sitting there.
Yeah, because they're grilling her and they're talking about like that oh, we saw you put the stuff in your bag. She's like, yeah, and then I took it out, what's the problem? And they're like, yeah, but why did you put all the cooking stuff in your bag? I'm like, I said I took it out, I'm done talking about this. And Fabio was like,
and then Chase, like, it's such literally Chase, the winner that I hoped he was going to be, was told Nayanka, hey, sweetheart, you just got to tell the truth. You just have to, baby girl. I'm sorry. You just have to. But,
yeah.
All right.
For as bad of a move it was, and it was a bad decision to make, I would have made that decision, because you're not going to give me a tortilla. Mm-hmm. You're not going to eat. Yeah.
It had no effect on her. Like, maybe people were like, oh, I won't vote. Like, maybe like the Martys of the world were like, oh, I can never vote for a person that took the food from the tribe. But I mean, it didn't affect her position.
Marty, he kept harping on it. Like, that's the,
he was trying to make it into something where he was on, he's on the bottom, and he's trying to turn it into like, oh, we have to vote out the food stealers.
But that's my thing with Alina. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are such in game bot mode that they are like, okay, you took food. Okay, let's talk about strategy now.
Yeah.
And Marty was like, heck no.
I think it's like the audacity that they had. They were like, how dare you not tell us, Alina? Alina tried to make a six-person alliance with y'all, and y'all fluffed her off. Like, the other tribe fluffed
never
her
fluff off.
Like,
Alina.
Why would Alina tell you anything? Like, get out of here.
Yes. And AJ, they hated this woman for some reason. Alina, I don't know what she was all about. The people on this show, they hated this woman.
They hated her with their whole heart, Rob. Like, she stepped on the beach and they said, screw her. We will not.
Did she smell? Benry called her a dirt squirrel. I don't know. They for some reason, no one liked her. Only Kelly Bruno.
How sad, how pitiful. Like, yeah. And I felt so bad for Alina, this poor little girl. She was like, oh, I didn't like Naoko at first, but now we're becoming friends. And Naoko was like, I don't like you. I'm just trying to get your journey back.
Nobody liked her. Poor Alina.
Nobody liked Alina.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about your girl, Brenda Jacob. She has a great arc in the season because she has the whole thing. Oh, that Chase has a thing for her. She rises to power. She helps Naoko find the idol. She's the queen bee. She's got, you know, Marty under her thumb. She's working with Sash. She's got Naoko. She has all the power at the start of the merge. But it's almost like that talking to these people, that's annoying. She says about Chase.
She didn't want to scramble.
She doesn't want to scramble. She didn't want Chase kept wanting to talk to her about what's the plan. And she's like, Chase, where's this is not an alpha male. This is, all he wants to do is talk. He's boring me. He's so annoying, Chase. She didn't want to.
The words she used.
Yeah. She did not want to. And she said about the game, she says, I see the game as more like, I'm the king. Sash is the queen. It was beneath her. She didn't want to scramble, and she did not want to put in the work of like talking to everybody.
Naoko told Chase, don't go over there and bug Brenda.
She
and
did.
What did Chase do?
Mm-hmm. Went over and the reason I love Brenda Lowe, Brenda Lowe so much.
I also love Brenda Song.
Absolutely. Rob, I don't know if you know who Brenda Songs is.
Not yet.
She's a Disney Channel girl. But Brenda Lowe, the reason I really love this is because she was such a dominant figure this season. And besides how she left, because she left in a type of way that like, oh, this is all like, this is beneath me, scrambling for votes, going back to people kind of like strategizing. So these people are like beneath me. I didn't like that aspect. But Brenda played like the queen that she is, and I have to do nothing but respect it. She made moves, and she conducted herself like she was that person. You know, she was the pivotal role, a very pivotal role, and you saw in the first tribal council when her name was out there. I'm in the LaFleur. And so she saw herself down there. She got with Chase, but it really annoyed me every time she said Chase is annoying. Why is he coming back and checking? Like, because I'm like, Brenda, you aren't giving him or aren't showing him, hey, that like, I'm with you 1000% in this. You're giving very much so like, hey, can you get away from me? Because I'm being annoyed by you. That's an aspect of Brenda's gameplay that I did not like this season.
Yeah.
But I still love the boss mentality that she carried herself with. And it was very amusing, and I got very much like poverty vibes from watching her.
Yeah,
from watching, you know, her on Nicaragua. So it was she bought a lot to this season.
I think Brenda's an introvert, but I get it. Yeah. Like they were setting her up from the jump. Like this is the next Parvati. Mm-hmm. Like episode one, this girl is Parvati.
She won the medallion of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep, she was like this. They were hyping Brenda up to the moon and back. Like Brenda was this thing, and she was such a fun character. She was such a strong person in this game. She was a strong figure. She was the head of this alliance. You knew where Brenda stood, and if Brenda didn't like you, she didn't like you. You were not confused about it at all. I love that type of character, that boss woman of color who just gets respect on her name. Like, I love that character 100%.
But that's also such a detriment to her game, though. Like, hell, if she doesn't rock with you, you clearly know that she's not with you.
Yeah.
And I wish that she could fake the funk a little bit more, a little bit like harder than she does. And I do like that aspect of Brenda, her personality wise, but gameplay wise, Brenda had a lot of flaws. Once Brenda's head got too big, it was kind of like no deflating that, and that led to her demise.
Yeah.
And I just wish that she could have sat back, saw that she was on the bottom. I mean, they in that tribal council, they said, hey, like these people are fighting against you. You're not on top anymore. And she's like, I'm still not going to do this. I'm just like, ma, this is Survivor. You have to scrunch. You have to scramble. You have to scrub the floor. You have to kiss people's butt in order to make moves happen. And she was just, I feel like pride was not allowing her to do that. false player, false woman, but had a lot of flaws in her gameplay that I wish that if she, like, she did come back for Kamoa, I wish that she could have. And I feel like she did refine certain things in Kamoa that she kind of lacked in Nicaragua. And so that kind of transition was a little fun to see.
Yeah, AJ, I feel like that with Brenda, it was almost like if this was Big Brother, she became the HOH and she was like, I'll be up, I'll be in my robe, I'll be up in my room, nobody come in, nobody talk to me, I'll come for you, do not ring my doorbell, I'll let you know when I need you. And then everybody like was like down in like the rest of the house like plotting against her, and then ultimately that the first, and she ends up on the block, she's like, well, I'm not gonna try to get these votes.
Brenda had classic HOH-itis, my guy.
Yeah, she did. But she 100%. Was great. She had such a great arc and such a great character in the season. And that, you know, the relationship between her and Marty was also like really interesting because when Marty was in the game, she hated that man's guts. She was like, oh, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, you know, how he's playing the game. And it was pathetic. And then when Marty left the game, once he was gone, she was like, you know, at least Marty, like he fought for it. Like, at least he was like he wasn't like a baby about everything. And then ultimately when her and Marty sit on the jury and people are quitting, that they're both of them together are like, this is ridiculous. We should be in there. We would never quit.
One thing I did not like about Brenda, and if listen, we're all probably done this before, but apparently she was plotting to backstab one of her closest allies and then be offended that one of her closest allies had the gall to backstab
her. This came up at the at the reunion where that Jeff was like, Sash, why didn't you play the idol? And apparently Brenda told Nayanka that she wanted to get rid of Sash, and then Nayanka told Sash, and then he didn't play the idol on Brenda.
But that made absolutely no sense to me.
What makes even less sense is you're in a tribe of, what was it, 10, 11, and you say, I'm only going to focus on two people. Hopefully us three votes can win the day. What kind of mess was that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And of those three people, she's telling one about voting out the other.
If I was Brenda, I would have just kept that at the reunion. I would just kept that in my chest. I would just like never build it, because it didn't make sense for her to be for one to go and say that. They knew that her Nayanka, I mean, she knew that her Nayanka and Sash were like a threesome in that game, and so it didn't. I tried to get my mindset and like, how was Brenda thinking? But I couldn't wrap my mind around it.
Jacob, I know you hate that Fabio one, and I know you know the outcome of the season. But on episode one, when Sasha was like, all minorities to the end, weren't you like, why couldn't this work?
I really did, and especially when he went to Nayanka and said, we can bring in Brenda. I love that. I love that pairing right there, because I love the type of rapport that Brenda and Sash had. Both very, I don't want to say egotistical, but that's the only word that I'm seeing. Like, it's egotistical and like, oh, I'm the best out here. And they were feeding off of each other in a lot of ways. And so I love that Nayanka was kind of like the child, like, you know, like, okay, you know, don't go over there and bother mama now. She's going to be mad. Don't go bother mama. And so I really love that. I wish that it could have worked. But when Sash didn't use it, I was confused why he didn't use it. And I thought, okay, Sash is just a selfish player. But at the reunion, it later made sense. And I was like, Brenda, why?
Yeah. I think that was a big mistake that they made, Brenda and Sash. I feel like they were too into each other that they lost focus on Nayanka. And Nayanka was over here doing her own thing. I get it. A lot of people don't like Nayanka. What's Nayanka to do? Apparently a lot. Like,
It really would have been interesting to see, like, had that stayed together. Nayanka was sort of like in between the two alliances, because Nayanka started the game and she was, you know, a third wheel with Sash and Brenda, and you could debate who the third wheel was between those three of them. But then she switches, and then she's a key part of what Holly is doing, and Holly like looks at her as like her closest ally and feels like, okay, me and Nay and Jane and Chase, that's she's really the person that's between those two alliances. And it would have been interesting to see, because ultimately she does side with Holly and Jane at the vote to take out Brenda. And then it was actually a really interesting strategic point in the game when Nyanka wants to leave the game with Purple Kelly, mm-hmm. which really it would have been interesting to see would she have gone with Sash or would she have stayed with Holly and Jane or, you know, what she would have done at that spot. And that does lead me into my next point of that you can't talk about the downfall of Brenda without talking about the arc of Holly, which really culminates like that's the high point of the season for Holly, where it's great on Survivor when you have like these like really well defined arcs where she was a lunatic. She was going she threw away a man's shoes and then told him about it 30 minutes later. And then she goes from that to being the person who's like she's running the game.
It's wild. I love a great story arc. That's why I said I think she would have been the satisfying winner. I love a nice clean story. And I think it's interesting had we saw episode 10 Holly, how she would have started off the game as, like, if she was there the whole time, I think it would have been such an interesting power struggle between her and Marty, and we saw what she could do because she took out Brenda, who was probably in one of the best positions in the game at that point in time. And she says, I'm going to dethrone the king and I'm going to become the head honcho myself. So yes, I love that with Holly and her relationship building with Nyanka. And I think underrated is Chase, because it was like Chase was stuck between Holly and Brenda, his two loves, like
yes between like the like I'm in love or the mother figure, which way am I gonna go for poor Chase. Okay,
yes
all right, that's about it for
she
the
really
good
was
list.
A lunatic at the beginning, she really was, like it was amazing to see her turn that around. Like, I don't understand how she was close to winning. Like, Dan said he would have locked her up in jail. Like,
yeah, she took my property. She should go to jail. Okay.
Dan confessionals were horrible. Like, his comments and some of the things that he said during this season, I was just like, are you serious? Like, even going to this part, like, oh, yeah, if she was a man, I would have decked her in the face. And just at the final, going really in on Sash. I'm like, Dan, what game were you playing, homeboy? At least Sash was playing a game. Like, he just was like, I did not understand Dan's frustration. I didn't understand Dan's mindset. I wanted Dan to quit. If anyone were to quit this season, I was hoping that it was going to be Dan, because he didn't bring anything to this season that I felt as though was worthy.
I don't even get him.
It made me mad.
What was he? Like, he was just like, was he like in the mafia? What was he supposed to be? He's like, yeah, I'm loaded. I got so much money.
He was like, I hope the IRS
says it. Says that he's a real estate executive.
Real estate, yes.
Would you buy property from this man?
After seeing him on Survivor, absolutely not. But a moment that also had me dying was the family visits, because I was expecting to see his wife come in. And then we saw one of his sons. And I just want to know the fight that his two sons had at that moment. Are you going, or I'm going, or did Dan already have like the person picked out? I want you to come.
Yeah, it was wild that the son came in. And Jeff's like, I can't get over it. Your son can't stop kissing you. I mean, you never see that, like where like the adult child comes out and then is just like putting like a million kisses like all over their dirty Survivor loved one.
I know. Yeah.
Like, I was like, he is disgusting. He has not washed in how many days, and you're kissing him? Like, I would struggle to like stand beside him.
Yeah.
I don't know. He is disgusting. He didn't even look clean.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like he was through it. Like, oh my Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, that he comes to the reunion with that. I feel like that they needed to give this man some aloe vera. That I've never seen a Caucasian man with a tan that dark. It was wild.
I don't know. It was. I was just like, where? What? I'm glad he didn't pub the tanning salon that he went to before this, because they would have got fired up. But I was just like, wow. Do you think, is that a natural?
I think so. I don't think it was like, sometimes when you see a spray tan, like it's kind of orange, but he was not orange.
He don't seem like the spray tan type.
He looked like he was like broiled.
Not royal.
He was cooked.
He was baked on.
That did not look healthy.
On both sides.
Damn. He was putting in an air fryer for a bit.
You know, being a real estate executive, I spent a lot of time in the sun.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk about some bad stuff. I can't believe we haven't talked about the Medallion of Power. Here we are.
Oh, the most horrible thing in the whole season, and I hope they never bring it back because it was worthless.
My God!
Sorry, Rob. AJ, are you okay?
No! I wasn't ready for that. Heat!
Yes.
Like, God bless.
Yeah, so Jacob, why do you hate it so much?
It fell completely flat.
Yes.
And I never understood, and it just went away like it was nothing.
They knew it. We got a dud. We got a dud. Yeah. Toss it.
It was just stupid. It was stupid. The way that it played out. And I when I first saw it though, when Brenda got it, and I was like, I'm very excited to see how this goes into play. And then it just completely went downhill. I'm just like, all right, y'all try. It didn't succeed. And don't bring it back.
Brenda's best strategic move the whole season. They said, all right, Brenda, you have the Medallion of Power. You can keep it or get flint and fishing gear for your tribe. And she took the fishing gear and flint, and it was like the smartest thing.
And they didn't use it. And then Jeff asked Brenda, "Would you use it?" Yeah, I would have used it. I mean, you're playing for day by day. Like, why would you think about tomorrow? And I was like, I get that, but I also would think about tomorrow. And it was stupid, Rob. It honestly was dumb.
The thing was, these were balanced challenges. Like, you did not need to have it. It's not like, oh, only super young people could complete this challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, they were just that anybody at any age can complete. Like, it was not that big of a deal.
Yeah. It was like the old people needed the Medallion of Power to be able to compete. But then the time that the young tribe used the Medallion of Power was such a blowout.
It was literally such a blowout. It was like they were going to win anyway. Won by an exit increment.
So definitely. Okay. All right. I have in my list a bad cast that we talked about some of these people, but just overall, you just had so many nothing people that brought you nothing. I'm sure they're all lovely in real life, but Survivor did not know what to do with a 20-person cast. They sort of get lucky that we have an episode where we have two double boot episodes, if you count the double quit from Nayanka and Purple Kelly. But we know nothing about people like Kelly B, Eve, Alina. Tyrone, that guy's hilarious in real life.
He was nothing hilarious on the show.
Did you see that side eye?
I thought he was. I thought the moment that were shown of Tyrone, I laughed at
him. Yeah, follow that guy on Facebook. He's hilarious, Tyrone. He didn't really get to, they made it only his only could talk about the challenges, and they called him King Tyrone.
King Tyrone, yeah. Rightfully so.
Because he had too many rules. Purple Kelly also.
I know Nayanka is a polarizing figure, and if you don't like her, you're wrong. But they genuinely cast the worst person, one of the worst people ever, when they cast Shannon Elkins.
Yeah.
That was the worst decision. Every time he spoke, it was disgusting. Like, he should not have been allowed on TV. In 2021, he would have had to go in hiding because that was not acceptable of any of his stunts. None of it was acceptable.
I mean, and we see in later Survivor seasons where that comes a little, those actions were far worse. Like, this came a little bit to this, and people got canceled. Over what they said at Tribal Council to certain members of Survivor. And so I'm just if Shannon was on the screen in 2020, 2019, or even 2018 a little bit, he would have been gone. And he would not have that same energy that he did have at the reunion, because he had no remorse for anything that he said or did at the reunion. That
out of nowhere, he's just let me just get this out of the way. The whole the needle comes off the record of wait, what? What are we talking about? And It's just like it's out of nowhere. And then Jeff at the reunion show tries to talk to them about it. Like, all right, Chad, let me go to you. Let me see. And then and then he's like back at it. Like, no remorse, even.
No remorse. He dug his toes deeper into the sand. Yeah. Like that. He was like, no, I'm convicted on this, Mark. And I was like, yo, you should feel ashamed. You should feel ashamed.
Yeah.
Like, it's disgusting. And they also didn't have any LGBTQ plus members on the season, which also... where's the representation?
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah. But Shannon Elkins, it was disgusting. The fact that he wants to double down, like it's some big, bold thing. Like, no, guys, sit down. Yeah. Get out of here. We don't want you no more.
He was, I believe, like Russell Hance's friend. You know, this is like that where it's Survivor 21. And it's like, we're so desperate. Like, we've just had a year of Russell. Like, okay, we need another mm-hmm. Russell. Russell, you got anybody? And so you get Shannon here. You get Russell again the next season. And then the season after that, they bring Russell's nephew.
Brandon.
Like, we need that Russell energy here somehow.
Oh,
no,
God.
We don't.
That's what they're thinking.
Shannon wasn't even like, he was a villain, but he wasn't like a, some villains we see were like, oh, I love to hate this person.
Yeah.
Or I hate to hate. Like, Shannon was a person that was like, I love to despise this person. And yeah. I do it with a smile on my face because his views and the comments that he makes are so ill. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, I want to know how he looks at his stint on Survivor now, especially in 2020. Which, I mean, he probably doubles down on
yeah, I think so. I don't think that there was ever, I don't think that point ever happened with the remorse. The one contribution he makes to the whole show is that he says in the first episode, this guy Fabio, this guy Judd, he's a dumb blonde. I'm going to call him Fabio. And it sticks to the point where that this man's mother comes out. And Jeff Probst says to her, by the way, Mom, we've renamed your son. His new name is Fabio. Go say hello to Fabio.
Jeff loves the moms this season. But so true. So mm-hmm. true.
She said, we named him Judson.
Even till today, we still refer to him as Fabio. I mean, that's what we know him as. But even I was looking at a tweet, I think Shireen put out, and she was like comparing sequestered players to Survivor players, and she put one of our contestants as Fabio. And I was like, it's still here to today. So Fabio isn't going anywhere. He doesn't look like a Judd. Judd Darian looks like a Judd, but Fabio does not look like a Judd.
Jeff was like, I'm sorry, ma'am. You made a mistake at birth.
Literally.
Yeah. Okay. No water challenges this season because of the conditions and the mud and everything like that. So they're a little bit like landlocked with that. Let's see.
They did have that one where it wasn't necessarily, I know what you're talking about, like when they're going to the ocean, but this was kind of like a little pond that they got to like swim in with Fabio P.
Yeah.
And they got to throw the balls into the, mm-hmm. into the little hoop. And I really love that.
Can we talk about Dan's dumbass?
What about it?
During that challenge.
Yeah, when it's like, so the challenge, you have to run and then jump and then you throw the ball and then he's like, he can't walk. So he just like walks up to the line, throws the ball and then just falls in the pool.
Oh, God.
Just like, no, Dan.
Oh, gosh.
That's so stupid.
It does not even come close.
This man?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't hot. It was not.
He
hot.
Made it to the final four.
Final five.
Yeah, the Jimmy T, who should be the leader, does go on for a while. Jacob,
Jimmy T is one of those type of players that I thought should have been brought back.
Yes,
we see Philip Shepherd get brought back.
Yes.
We see who else is a Jimmy T S type of player?
Well, the joke that we started in TEOS is that Jimmy T is time traveling Malcolm, that this is like Malcolm on his like ninth try.
I definitely can see it. But honestly, Jimmy T brought a lot to the early stages of this game. And I, as a viewer, I loved watching because he was struggling so much with, I feel like, with his inner self, and it overflowed out in where he just wanted affirmation and attention from everyone. And if I was on the tribe with Jimmy T, I would have got annoyed from the get go. Like, I'm having a baby, 50 plus year old man. Like, come on, I need you to come on with it. But as a character, as the drama yeah. that he provided, as the entertainment at Tribal Council, at the like, Jimmy T really is like, I mean, anytime I just think of Jimmy T, I just think of put me in, coach. You're going to tell this old man, put me in, coach, when you're on a game like Survivor. He coaches, put me in, coach. You go in there. You tell Jimmy T, Jimmy J, you hold on. Jimmy J wasn't even a competitor. You hold on. Let me go in here. And he was a fun player to watch.
Yeah.
Very infuriating at times, but fun nonetheless.
Yeah. Jimmy T was such a mess. It reminded me of a child, like, baby, do you need your passy? Like, get out of here. Go stand in the corner. The grown folks are talking. Go play with your toys. What are you doing out here? Wasn't he voted in by, like, people to play Survivor?
Was part of the Sears. Like, they had, like, a competition. And then I think the Sears picked, like, a person that he got in, like, by, like, a competition. I thought Marty clocked him pretty good when Marty was, like, saying about it. He's like, Jimmy T suffers from both paranoia and delusions of grandeur.
It was spot on.
Marty gave
it.
No,
he didn't need to say to tribal council, though. Like, it was good, like, once in the confessional. They didn't need to, and then burn him at tribal council with that.
Just, he wanted to cry, and he was like, oh, I'm sorry.
All he wanted was a chance. And Holly wanted to give him that chance. All he wanted was a chance, guys. Just give him a chance.
Just let him have a chance.
I threw one on a barrel once. I threw a bag on there. I could have did it, coach.
It could have been Jimmy T.
Could have been Jimmy T.
But yeah. I would like to see Jimmy T on another. I honestly, just because his character was so funny to me. And I would just love to see him on another Survivor season.
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Yeah. How old is Jimmy T in Survivor Nicaragua? Let me see. So at the time of playing Survivor Nicaragua, which is now over 10 years ago. So he was 47. He was 47.
Wow.
I would not have guessed that. That's like one of the younger posts, ain't it?
Yeah. He was.
Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
So that's like 10 years ago. He's 57.
47 is young.
All right. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Then let's see. You know, we talked about Nayanka and Kelly Bruno, but everybody was mean to Kelly Bruno. Like, other than Alina, nobody else gave this woman the time of day out there. Everybody's like, one fake lag, gotta go.
Gotta go. We even saw Shannon saying, he made a lot of derogatory comments, but we even saw him saying, oh, yeah, like, I'm definitely not taking her because of the story that she has. And I felt as though they were going to do much more with the story of the girl coming in with the prosthetic leg instead of just, all right, we got the girl with the prosthetic leg. All right, action. Let's go. And they didn't really do anything of it besides the first episode. Rob, you want to know something that I was hoping for when we saw her with the prosthetic leg? I'm going to tell you, I was hoping that she hit that the longest that she, I mean, I guess you have to wear shorts in some competition.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect her to give it up so easily. And people were like, she's walking funny. She's limping. We saw, you know, I think Elena say that when they were finding the medallion of power, like, this girl is limping. And then we saw when she was like kneeling down and we saw the little cuff of her pants, show the little like metal part. And I wanted to see what that story was like. Mm-hmm. But she gave nothing. She gave lackluster. The only thing that she gave was a contribution to the Nayanka storyline.
Right. And Chad in Survivor Vanuatu had like a little bit more of a story where they explained it more, and he had like more of a reveal with the tribe. But you know what also is wild? If you look at her contestant profile pictures, they photoshopped a foot on her.
The lies and deception. No way.
And who was this for? Why were they trying to trick us?
Kelly Bruno.
I don't know. Did she ask? I don't think she asked for that.
I doubt it. I mean, she was willing to come on.
Look on the Survivor Wiki.
Of her cash and like, hey, I want to do this for just people who like suffer from like, you know, just some disability in some capacity. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that heart in it. I just wish we would have seen something. I'm like, yes, give us nothing, Kelly B. Give us nothing. And I mean, it just takes me back to where I thought her leg was going to snap when her and Ayanka were fighting in the fruit basket.
Yeah.
I think it was a situation where Kelly did not want this to be her story. She did not want to be, survivor with the prosthetic leg.
They brought that up at the finale with her, and she said, no, I was a competitor like anybody else. So, but she, other than that, like we barely heard from her. And I can't think of a survivor who got less in their boot episode than she did.
Oh, I know. Being back on it, she got nothing.
Nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, they did her so wrong. Mm-hmm. So wrong. Like, listen, if it's her, Naonka give me Naonka every day, but they did her.
Yeah.
They didn't even give her a chance.
Yeah. I also have the pre-merge was endless after the swap. It goes on 3 episodes, but it feels like an eternity.
Worst stretch in the show, I believe.
Yes.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Like, Marty's, is the only saving grace that had, because Marty is psychotic. Mm-hmm. But besides that, it gave me nothing.
Yeah, episodes 5, 6, 7 are the worst of the season, and even the episode before, the final episode before the swap starts to get kind of slow.
That left in the pre-merge that I was really looking forward to just seeing what they could do more was Dr. Jill.
Yeah,
I had really high hopes for Dr. Jill. Especially her relationship with Marty, because I feel like she was such a smart player. And certain moves that Marty did, she was kind of looking at them like, why would you do that? And I love that that type of method that she has. So I was really bummed to see her go that early, even though she kind of got flushed out on her kind of exit as well. We didn't really see that much of her going when they kind of swapped a little bit. But I was really, I had high hopes for Dr. Jill.
I will agree with the statement that I had high hopes for Dr. Jill. Coming back, I remembered her. I was like, oh, she was robbed. She was such a good player. I watched her this time. I was like, she didn't want to do nothing out there. She legit just said, Marty, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Yeah. Like, she did not.
You know what? I think that if she goes into the swap and is like, all right, look, I saw Marty's try to run this thing with these people. Mm-hmm. It didn't go great. I'm out on Marty. Okay. I'm with you, young kids, fellow young kids, young people. I'm with you. Maybe it's a different story. Like, I know Marty has the idol, but
her boot episode, she says straight up at the channels, yeah, I'm probably going to get voted out. Mm-hmm. And then she did nothing about it.
Yeah. She was in a bad spot.
I do think that I agree with your point, Rob. I do think that she would have done something seeing how Marty would have worked. I don't know if against Marty, but I want to say against Marty after she kind of saw the game that he was playing. Because even when Marty, I forgot, this was early on, kind of early, mid early. But Marty said, hey, we need to do this. And she wasn't really down for it. I forgot the votes because it just hit me just now.
It was the Jimmy Johnson vote. But she was like, let's do Dan, I think.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, it's probably that. And then, she didn't really want to do it. And Marty was like, what do you want to do? And then she was like, I'm just going to do that since you told me that. So she had kind of an attitude with Marty, kind of going out of on her exit. And so I feel like she definitely was kind of willing to break apart from Marty once she got some footing in the game, because I just don't think that she honestly got footing in the game to do anything.
Yeah. I also have in my notes on the bed, Benry gets a bucket hat at some point. Very, very ugly hat.
I was watching. I was like, where did this come from?
Yeah, where'd that bucket hat come from all of a sudden?
Never been a fan of bucket hats, and especially now on him. So, yeah.
Benry had a couple of confessional moments of course, people remember that he calls Alina a 100% grade A dirt squirrel and then makes a rat squirrel noise for some reason. And then he votes. He has a whole thing about he's going to vote out Tyrone. And he's Benry's here, baby. And then he knocks the thing off.
Benry's here, baby. Come on now.
Yes. Stop it, Benry.
Ali Lasher and Brian Cohen has this thing on their challenge podcast called The Mitch Watch, where you take someone you just don't like and be like, I'm going to take everything I don't like about you and just learn to like it. And that's why I had to do it, Benry. Mm-hmm. I was like, I you've given me nothing. Let me just force to watch you. And then he just says some of the stupidest one-liners this entire season. I was like, Benry, no one cares. No one gives a crap about you.
He was such in an intricate position, especially when LaFleur went to their first tribe, and when we saw Shannon get voted out, and we saw kind of Chase lean to him and say I still have your back, but we kind of still saw Benry side with the other side, not with the Chase and Brenda, and so it was that type of complex where I think he did what he thought he could have, but I just saw a lot more potential with the moves that he could have made in this game that he just didn't make.
It was so weird because I feel like Benry voted with them so many times, but they was like, yeah, Benry's not in our group. We don't like Benry. And I was like, yeah.
Okay.
And he gave up Fabio to like, hey, y'all can like vote out him, and you know, but I think it's probably social bond, social capital, and
that yeah, but Fabio's so easy. Like it's gonna be Fabio. Like, so all right, easy. Fine, we'll vote for him.
And I thought Fabio was his boy. So
yeah,
but yeah,
yeah. Okay, let's bring in some questions from the listeners Survivor Nicaragua. Let's see a couple of these. Okay, this is a good question from Zach G. How would Fabio do on Winners at War? He's kind of a wild card. Just wanted to get your thoughts. Okay, now, Fabio, I have not kept up with him. I hear things anecdotally about him every now and then, but there's Fabio now 10 years older on Survivor Winners at War. Any thoughts on how Fabio would have done?
I think Fabio would have been fine. I think you can give me over under 8 confessionals. Mm-hmm. I think he makes the merge because they were targeting old school players. And I don't think he would have been considered a quote unquote old school, even though he would have been one of the further back players to have played, but he don't give off that aura of old school. So I think he would have stuck around for a little bit, maybe like the second or third person out at the merge.
I think Fabio would have studied his first game, and because I think he is not known as like a good winner, like the best, you know, one of the best. He's not looked at as Fabio, you know, a Survivor winner, tens across the board. And so I feel like that probably could have harped on him a lot, especially going into Winners at War, where he felt like he had to prove something. And so I feel like we would have seen, honestly, I think we would have seen a different Fabio play, a much harder and a much aggressive Fabio play this game. And we know that he's good at competitions. I don't know how those choices will look in 10 years later, but I'm pretty sure they're still up to par. And so I feel like we would have saw a different type of Fabio in there. But the thing is, since he didn't get that type of winner's edit where like, oh my goodness, Fabio is such a good winner, he would have came in with something to prove. And I feel like he probably or could have played too hard, too fast, where he felt like he had to make a move or had to do something to solidify himself as like a Winners at War.
Jacob, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you watch the reunion? Does that kid seem like someone who cares?
Yeah,
he wasn't viewed as.
Jacob, you're making good points for a different person, but I don't think that's Fabio, because that I would bet Fabio maybe has not watched 5 episodes of Survivor since he played on the show. Like, I do not think that he has probably thought a lot about like, hey, where did I go wrong? Where were the trouble spots in my first game?
Okay. Probably that, but if you're gearing up for Winners at War, you're gearing up for your second time back, and you know the type of perception that you had as a winner, I would go in. Well, I'm talking about me. I'm not Fabio, so I guess y'all are right. You know, but I would go in with like I have something to prove. Where he's probably like, you know, I'm Fabio. You know, hey, what's up?
Yeah, I think so he would just go back and do that. And like, I feel like that, like. Is Tony say like, hey, this is the woo I'm going to bring to the final two? Like, I wonder, like, do people just like keep him around? And then he wins the last 3 competitions. And people say like, oh, I love that guy.
This was an old school player. Old school, but
I think that he would be considered oldish school because like Tyson only played like 3 seasons before him. And I think that people probably considered him to be an old school player, but he's not friends with anybody. I don't think that.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I don't.
So his Survivor ties are cut.
Yeah. I don't think he goes to any Survivor stuff.
No. Okay.
Like, I feel like if they was like, hey, Fabio, you want to play at Winners at War? He would have said, I'm good. Like, straight up.
Yeah. I really don't know a lot about him. He's really kind of off the grid. I don't know a lot about what he's up to now.
Wait till T-Bird final.
I think he's on the list. Okay. All right. Jake A. says that Jeff did not seem to enjoy this season. Do you agree? And if so, what do you think was the case? And Connor says, was this Jeff's lowest point with the show? Watching him host, he seemed like he never enjoyed this season at all.
I mean, I think after the two quitters, I think it definitely took a toll on him, where he was just like, I'm kind of over it.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Like, Jeff was going back and forth with the contestants. If they were giving it, he would give it to them right back. Now, there were people on this cast, a Dan, a Benry, an Eve, et cetera, who was not giving him much. But the Nayankas, the Janes, the Hollies, the Martys, Brendas, if they were feeding it, he was in it. And he was having fun with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You could see it on his face.
Yes.
He was not happy that Jimmy Johnson went out. That was, he was not thrilled about that. He was like, you know, he was like, but you have a leader, Jimmy Johnson. Why would you, what do you think about that? Then the weather, I do think, wore him down. The quits was not fun. He did not like that there was not, it was not cutthroat at the end of the game. But I have to say that when I have watched the next season recently, that when they bring Boston Rob back the next season, that he's like, they're so into it. So that whatever was wrong with Nicaragua, they brought Boston Rob out and they were just loving Redemption Island when it was happening.
Well, we weren't.
But how crazy was it at the reunion show where, like, after everything, like, so they go like, oh, wait, hold on, Boston Rob is here. Boston Rob just had another baby. And so, like, you know, you and Amber, you're such a great team. And we got, like, very graphic about the, like, birth of Rob and Amber's second baby. Like, Jeff, the head was coming out, you know. So we got into the whole thing. And then after that whole story, then Jeff's like, all right, Rob, here, you take it, to throw it to commercial. I've never seen this before.
I feel like Jeff was fanboying over Boston Rob and continues to do so. And so I think it was super cute. But when I was watching that, because I just totally forgot that Redemption Island was the next season and we was going to see Russell and Rob. And so watching that back, I didn't see that at the moment, but I saw Russell and I was like, oh wait. And then I looked up the next scene. I was like, oh, yes. Okay, now it makes sense. I thought that was a cute tie-in to have them both there.
Yeah.
I like the part where he was like, describing that season. He was like, who's in the audience? Oh, Cerise here. And they was like, who's in the audience? Rupert. He kept talking and they just paid the coach for no reason.
Yeah. So I think they were trying to like hype people up on Redemption Island. Like, this is how it's going to work. Like, let's take somebody that you really like. Like, imagine Suri. She gets voted up, but she's still on the show. Isn't this cool? This is great. And then Rupert, he gets voted out. Now he's still on the show. This is going to be great. You're going to love it. Redemption Island. It's like, yeah, well, what happens when Serena gets voted out and I gotta watch another episode with Serena on it and Serena is gonna go to Redemption Island after I just watched Krista Klump be on another episode?
Definitely.
This is amazing.
Like, oh, Ralph is staying. Okay.
You know, Grant Matos and Ralph Kaiser and who else? Julie Wolf. Oh yeah. My gosh, such a sad television.
Okay. All right. I think I know the answer to this question, but one of the listeners, Michaela, says that for the season 40 perspective, I don't mind the Medallion of Power. In fact, I kind of liked it. Do you think it could work again? So I was thinking about this a little bit, that could the fire tokens be some sort of Medallion of Power where it's like, all right, if your side has puts up 5 fire tokens, and I kind of feel like that was on the advantage menu of some sort of like advantage in the challenge. Like if enough people from your team want an advantage in this challenge, it'll cost you, but you have to pool your fire tokens together.
I'd like that more because the Medallion Power is just like, okay, you use it, gotta pass it to another team, now it's their turn to have it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you used it, now back to you. It was so minimal, and then the help was so minimal. What was it? Someone was like, oh, the Medallion of Power really made a big difference. And Jeff's like, no, it didn't. Y'all just suck. Like, so I like the idea of people like, is this worth it? Can we like barely squeeze it out, but the fire tokens will really put us over. I like that idea. I don't think it will be used often, if at all, but
I'm not that excited about it. But if you wanted to do something, then maybe there's something there. Yeah. Okay.
Like, if you want to bring back fire tokens, because, you know.
You like fire tokens, AJ?
It was fine.
Yeah. Then when they had to do the final challenge with the sword, it was kind of like they were putting fire tokens on like the sword. Maybe that was the inspiration. Yeah.
I have memories of me just trying to do that challenge and me just with my like unshaky, uncoordinated hands just keep dropping it.
What'd you had a sword? Quarters.
No.
What'd you have?
Do I look like I own a sword? A baseball bat.
A baseball bat and like a like some quarters?
Yes, a lot of quarters here. Mm-hmm. I just tried. I was like, when I get on Survivor, I can ace the challenge.
Yeah. All right. This is from David Schwartz. Who from Survivor 21 should be on Sequester? Jacob? who should it be? Should they get the whole cast of 20 and do a reunion?
Absolutely not with the whole cast of 20. So Sequester is such a fast-paced game.
Yes.
Where you honestly it relies on a whole bunch of strategies because it's a new twist each round.
Yeah.
And one person who I feel as though excelled more on the strategy side, I honestly would love to see Sash play Sequester because he was so strategy focused. And I would just like to, I mean, I had strategies on Sequester. I made some big moves. They came back and backfired in my face, but I would love to see Sash play. I would love to see Nayanka play, not for strategy or gameplay, but for commentary. Mm-hmm. But Sash is number one of a person that I would love to see.
Brenda,
strategy.
She's going to play. She's never switching rooms. She's like, I am in this room. I'm not going to switch. Why should I have to switch? If anybody wants to come in, they can come talk to me. Because this is where I am.
Rob, sometimes that works for people in Sequester. Yeah. Honestly, I've seen that strategy work for numerous people. But yeah, Brenda, I love you. You're one of my faves. But stay home when Sequester night comes back.
Mm-hmm. Dan is like, what is this thing again? What is this called? My son said they were going to put this on this thing. What is this?
Wait, another. I would like to see
Sequest.
Sequest. I would like to see Chase play because I would like to be mind boggled every round because who knows where he's going? Mm-hmm. Who knows who he's aligned with? Who knows who he's sticking with? Yeah. And since Sequester is such a fast paced game, it's going to be even more chaos with Chase's mind. And
You love Chase.
I do. For some reason, I don't listen to his music. I haven't followed him anywhere. But when I watched the season back, I was like, honestly, I would have loved to see Chase win, and I think he deserved it.
Jacob, can I just say my husband said that I was going to be the first person that got kicked off of Sequester, and I wasn't.
And he.
I was going to find the LOS and I was going to use it.
Oh my God.
That's one that we need to see on Sequester. Yeah. That's one. Well, come on, Wendy.
Fabio's going to win again. He's not going to hurt anybody's feelings. He's going to sit there in the end like, well, what? Look, dude, what is this? What is this game even?
For Fabio the podcast listeners, Jacob like burned his eyes through Rob's soul just then.
Congratulations, yes. Fabio, winner of Survivor Nicaragua Sequester.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. What else? How about this? Rudy Moser wants to know, is there anybody with a more purple edit than Purple Kelly? I thought this was so funny in the season where Holly is giving the Jimmy Johnson pay it forward speech to Purple Kelly. And she's like, Kelly, don't you know? Do you want to be known for the rest of your life as the girl who quit Survivor? And I'm like, that's not what she's going to be known as the girl for the rest of her life for.
Is there another person that has Purple Kelly?
Yeah, I think that there was a couple of women that were in the 30s that were more purple. Like there's one woman, Liliana in Survivor Fiji, who is gets nothing. She gets nothing. There was Chelsea in Survivor Ghost Island. who was like another person that got nothing.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
That is a person.
I think there were people that actually probably got less confessionals than she did. Because even Purple Kelly, for being Purple Kelly, has like a confessional where she's like I have got nothing left to suck. telling me suck it up. And she says, milk your own milk. I'm not sure if that's in a confessional or not. So she actually,
Brenda kind of got Purple Kelly her second, not to the same extent, but she definitely got a version of Purple Kelly her second time.
Mm-hmm. Question: would Purple Kelly got so little screen time? Would she have got so little screen time if she didn't quit? Like if she was.
Yeah, that's a good question. That was no. They sort of like, you know, don't get anybody invested in her.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like looking at her gameplay, even if she still would have made it further, like I think they would have gave her more confessionals, but I don't feel like it would have added anything. Mm.
Yeah.
Because she was funny in the confessionals because she didn't know anything about life.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was funny.
Yeah, and Jeff was even like kind of like throwing shade at her at the tribal council. He's like, Kelly, why don't you tell us your 20 years of wisdom?
Wisdom.
Yes. She's like, Yeah. But I think she has 7 confessionals. That's a quick Reddit search.
Oh, wow.
7 confessionals.
That sounds like a lot.
Mm-hmm. And they said 5 were in her last episode. So she only had 2 going into there. But she's another person that they call her Purple Kelly, and that sticks as like she would have made the loved ones visit, like, all right, dad, come out and meet your daughter, Purple Kelly.
Purple Kelly.
Why do you call her that? And she gets no edits. Okay.
Because she gets no edits.
Yeah. Okay. This is a good question from Austin, who asks, how far do Nayanka and Purple Kelly go if they don't quit? What happens? This is the final 9. There's still going to be a tribal council. Then they didn't even have an immunity challenge in that episode. So, all right, Purple Kelly and Nayanka, that, you know, the sun comes out and they get dry and they get nice and warm and they're going to figure out what to do. And so at the previous vote, Brenda had been voted out. I think that would be like a very interesting thing to follow. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is possible Purple Kelly could have been the person who gets voted out. I do think that contributes to Purple Kelly wanting to quit because she feels like, well, Brenda just got voted out and I got blindsided. And so I'm probably going to be next anyway.
Yeah, I feel like she had given up at that point in time. Mm-hmm. I feel like even if she was whining and stuff, she probably would have been asked to have been voted out at that point. I think Purple Kelly is the next person to go on, period. I think now you got Nayanka, and that's a bigger, interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think a lot of people wanted to go to the end with Nayanka, but Nayanka is such a chaotic force. I don't know if you can get to the end with Nayanka.
Yeah.
I think she's... So I think that's more interesting.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
It is.
How far would Nayanka go, Jacob?
I think Purple Kelly.
And don't forget she had an idol too. Nayanka.
And she had an idol.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna bring up. I feel like Purple Kelly, I think she would have been after Brenda just because I feel like it was just in the eyesight for it. But I feel like Nayanka definitely could have done some damage. And especially she could have been so intricate in the Chase, Sash, Holly, and Jane alliance. Because I don't think she would ever go to work with Dan or, you know, Fabio or Benry at that time. And so I'm seeing And I don't think that Chase or Sash would have deemed Nayanka as a threat for the end, you know, for the end game. Mm-hmm. Even though we see her game as a third party, like a bird's eye view in a way. So we knew that she was doing things, but I think that a lot of people were willing to take her to the end because she was so controversial or so like mean or so, you know, dramatic in all these different moments where they felt it would be an easy sweep. And so I feel like Nayanka could definitely have made a run to the final 5. And to the final 4 and to the final 3, I want to say.
Jeff straight up told her, you're probably going to go to the final 3. Mm-hmm. You're probably not going to get many votes, but you're probably going to be sitting in the final 3 at this point. Now, and I could honestly see Nayanka sitting in the final 3. Marty talks about how much he despises her. Brenda has such a bad taste in her mouth after the way Nayanka blindsided her. Benry's not a fan of her. Fabio's not a fan of her. Dan, I think some days he's a fan of her, but most she's not. I think people's like, this is a good person to drag to the end. So I think there's a good chance that Naoko gets there. I think it's interesting because I think Naoko... I don't think Naoko could win. I think she could rally some votes. So, I think she just...
I mean,
she won't be a zero vote finalist.
I think Sash's final three that he wanted was... I know he said Purple Kelly might go home next, but I think that if Sash is able to get his way, it's Sash, Purple Kelly, and Naoko. Purple Kelly is probably getting zero votes. Now yes, it's I between agree. Like Sash and Naoko. Like, a lot of people hated Sash. I'm just saying. It's possible.
But then we have to see if the same moves would have been made if Naoko was still in the game that Sash made later on in the game, you know? And that kind of made more people more pissed off. And so it's like...
I think the way things stood, if that was the final three, before she decided she wanted to quit, her and Holly had such a good relationship. I think her relationship with Jane was much better than Sash's. I think... Chase had a better relationship with her than Sash. So that's three votes right there. Alina would have voted for her. She just needs one more vote, and she's the winner of Nicaragua. Where's that vote coming from? I don't know, but Naoko could have won Nicaragua.
I would have loved to see her jury, because I knew that
she'd give a great final tribal council.
I feel like she would have given him, and I know that the jury would have came for her neck. And Naoko is such a defensive person, where she oftentimes feels attacked. And I feel like this season she was definitely attacked in numerous things, but she was also, you know, attacking other people as well. But
when people attack, the other person defends. When someone attacks Naoko attacks back.
1,000%. And so it would have been such a dynamic. But I still feel as though that she could have, and not eloquently, but I feel like she could have explained her game really, honestly, really good. Because we saw her social relationship that she had. Like, when I saw her talking to Chase at different moments, I was like, wait, is this the same girl that we've been seeing? And I was like, I loved it when they showed the variety of I don't care, Naoko, versus like, I'm in this game to play him, to play hard. And I think that if she would have made it there, I think she would have gave Sash a run for his money.
I'm not going to lie. I think if Naoko had been a fan of Survivor, Naoko would be a good Survivor player. I think one of the things...
She had a lot of raw talent.
Yeah, she had a lot of raw talent. I agree. I like what she did with Alina, Brenda. She's not afraid to make moves. And so I think she had a lot of raw talent.
Okay.
She could have been like Paul. That's what
brought her back again.
Yeah, I think she could have been Paul.
Maybe she could have been against Boston Rob in the next season. Okay.
That just sounds silly.
Yeah. It didn't rain. It would have been a good spot for her. Okay. All right. Yeah. So let's talk about every week we do a poll and we ask the audience for some more questions specifically about this season. Who was the MVP of the season? Sometimes it's a blowout. This was a little bit closer this week. Jacob.
I think it was Jane.
Jane. Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard because I don't know how to define MVP. Brought the most entertainment. It's Naoko easily. Strategy, you can give it to Sash. I can see people give it to Holly. I know there's a lot of Marty fans out there. If I had to pick someone, I would go with Holly personally. Yeah.
Holly, 23%. Brenda had 17%, and Fabio had 17%.
I didn't even bet money on my girl. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Okay. Which one-time player would you like to see most come back and play again on a future season?
The correct answer is Naoko, but that's not the answer they gave. Wait, unless... You know what? Pump it. I'm sticking with my guns. I say Naoko. Naoko.
I'm in between Jane and Marty.
That's what I was originally going to go with Marty personally, but I'm going to stick with Naoko because I'm a ride.
But then Jane is like, I would like to see Jane.
But there's this thing. Rob, can you explain this to me? There's like a lot of hate for Jane out there. And I don't get it.
Oh, is there?
Where is it coming from?
I feel like from the online people. Like there's a lot of like online people that do not like Jane at all.
Yeah.
Like I think casuals like Jane. I don't know if... people online like Jane a lot.
I don't know. The online audience is fickle. They want somebody that plays with a lot of strategy, but not too much strategy.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say Marty with that note.
Yeah. Marty, 29.67%. Holly was 2, and Fabio again was the 3rd with 17%. Yeah, no love for Nayaka. This is Nayaka should have been the right answer, because it's like, who would you like to see come back? Not who will come back. That would be chaotic energy.
Like, who would I season. Like?
Yeah.
Like Nayaka, listen, you know how Brenda was purple on Karamoan? Nayaka would never be purple on any season she's on.
No.
Like, it's a shame that the challenge, like, just recently started bringing people from CBS over, because I think Nayaka would have been a mainstay on challenges if they were doing that.
She got hosed. She should have been, she would have been great. She would have been on, like, 13 seasons of the challenge by now.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah. She would have such a big house, like,
like Johnny Bananas.
Yeah, she had like more cars than Dan Lembo. Well, I got a Ferrari. I got a Range Rover. What do you want? Okay.
She's like, I'll race your $1,600 shoes for my $2,000 heels.
What name in this list made you pause and think, wait, who's that? That's always the most fun question every week. Mm-hmm. Who is the person on the cast list that made you say, wait, who's that?
I am between Eve and Alina. But I think it's Eve.
I think it is as well.
It is. And Alina didn't even place in the top three. Eve was 46%. Shannon was 11%. And Tyrone was 10%.
They can't do my boy Tyrone. Wendy Jo should have been like up that. There.
Yeah.
Wendy Jo.
Well, Wendy Jo, I think, is memorable for being so so bad.
I'm jealous of the 11% who don't remember Shannon.
All right. Most underrated player of the season.
I'm going to go with my guy Chase, because he does not get the credit. Obviously, y'all two aren't giving him the credit.
He's not even in the top three.
Can I get one more chance? Okay. Brenda,
most underrated player. What do you think, AJ?
Underrated player. I think, again, there's a lot of Marty fans out there. I think Marty could get this. I personally think it could be, I think Alina on a different season probably would have had a better showing, because she was shown to be a little sneaky, a little
shown
crafty.
Her. Yeah.
They also would have shown her. But I'm going to go with Marty.
Now, Marty not in the top three. Holly, most underrated player. Although I feel like properly rated.
My response is, how can you be both the MVP and underrated?
It's a good question. Very good question. Okay.
Who was number two?
Then Sash was 12%, and Fabio. He's always like right there in third place. Okay.
That's what he should have been in the winners.
What I was going to say. Yeah. All right. Kelly Wentworth Award for Best Pre-Merge Boot. This was a nail biter.
I have mine, because
who is
they
it?
Gave
who
went up great entertainment, a little bit of strategy, but I just love them as a person. I thought they were so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with my guy, Jimmy T.
Yeah, you got it. Jimmy T.
Whoa!
Right ahead of Dr. Jill, 21% for Dr. Jill. All right.
Really,
do you think the Medallion of Power as a twist should be given a second chance on a future season?
No.
No.
By how much? What percent said no?
87.
AJ's club, 89% said no.
Okay. Hell no.
We asked the audience to rate the winner of Survivor Nicaragua, 1 being the best, 40 being the worst. What do you think was the average response?
35.
12. 12. 12. 1 is the best.
Oh, I say, crap, what's 12 minus 40?
28. Yeah.
28.
Yeah. It was AJ's closer. 33, which I think is high. I'm trying to remember when I did the evolution strategy. I did a winner ranking, and I think I had Fabio last. I'm not sure if it was Fabio or Bob Crowley I had last.
I would like to say, we started this podcast off, maybe not started, but early on, talking about how Fabio had no game. Like, there was no game to speak of.
Yes.
Like, he is nowhere up there at all.
Yeah. He didn't have one vote that he put together. Like, he just, like, it wasn't, like, you have some people that are, like, in the thick of things, but then they're on the outs. Like, he did not, like, there was not one time that he's like, all right, I got the plan tonight. Here's the person we should get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I told y'all who I thought she won.
Yeah. Okay. Then, do you feel like the season was too low, too high, or just right?
No, I thought it was too low.
Too low.
Definitely. I thought like this season was so funny.
I personally had it at like 32. So it's like in the same area. So I'm going to say round just right.
Yeah, just right. 44% said just right. Okay. All right. That's Survivor Nicaragua. Anything else that we didn't say about Survivor Nicaragua tonight? This was super fun.
I had a blast too.
Yeah, this time has flown by. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. What time is it?
Anything it got that late. I
yeah.
Anything that I didn't. I feel like, you know, I love Brenda. I just love her so much. But I'm just mad at how Carmela did her. But it's okay. She won't be back. It's a lot of people from this season that I think should make a return, or that should have made a return. That were kind of like, we have Marty, we have, I think, Jane, I think Holly.
I just feel like that the ship has sailed for a lot of these people.
I think the ship has sailed.
Like,
I'm surprised. Yeah, that, like Marty, Jane, Holly, none of them even made a return.
Yeah, I just feel like that the ship has sailed for a lot of those people. Like, I actually feel like that there's a better chance that Nayanka would play again than any of those other people that you would have thought right after the season. Because I just feel like that, you know, that a lot of time has gone by since they started. They were on the older tribe to begin with. Yeah. A lot of time has gone by. And I just feel like that people probably look back at Nayanka and said maybe that she didn't get a fair shake, or people were too hard on her in the real time. And maybe they, you know, as a more mature person, have to have some confidence. But I do feel like that I hadn't even been thinking about the Colton factor of if she ever did play again and quit again, that it would just be, that production's like heads would simultaneously all explode.
If Nayanka came back, she's making Final Five.
Yeah,
I would love to see Nayanka come back again. I will, like, I like everything you just said, Rob, and I still believe she has the best chance to claim back of anyone on this cast.
Yeah,
like even despite all of that, I think no one else have a shot
unless Chase Rice called CBS is like, hey, you know, I really would like another shot at Survivor. I've been hearing this guy Jacob online talking me up. He's got me excited. I got to come back and play.
I bet you after his concert, the Survivor fans like, oh, can you tell me about Survivor Nicaragua? He's like, what's that?
Yeah. Well, Nayanka said that when they did a Survivor Nicaragua reunion Zoom, then she said that he was on the call. So you would think that he would like have all these people's numbers blocked.
But I feel like Chase wouldn't play I know y'all don't think he played that good, but I think he did think, but I don't think he'll play that. I don't think he'll bring much if he comes back, to be honest. TBH.
No, he'll be like the Brenda this time. Like, everybody get away from me. I don't want to talk to any of you.
Definitely.
Do you know who I am? Come on.
You know who I am. Exactly.
Okay. All right. 100%. Next week, it's time to talk about the 33rd best seasons. I watched the 8th best season of Survivor, and then I'll tell you where I placed Survivor Nicaragua in my rankings that I'm doing as we go through. Okay, so next week we will talk about the.
Can we guess?
You want to talk about? You want to guess the 33rd best season?
I want to guess.
You can guess.
I think it's Survivor Game Changers.
Game Changers. Okay, Jacob.
That's what I think. Or Triple H, it would be Game Changers. Triple H, I think.
I think it's Triple H. I think it's Triple H. I enjoy Game Changers, to be honest.
Okay. All right. Let's see the 33rd best season of Survivor next week. It's Triple H. It's time for those.
Thank you,
I don't even remember the right order of it anymore. I believe it's Heroes, Healers, and Hustlers.
Hustlers.
Yes.
Heroes.
Yes. So. Yeah. That is going to be next week, next Wednesday night.
It's in my pants.
Yes. I think that's the wrong one. Wrong season. I think
it's in my pants.
Yes. Okay. There you go. So we'll church this up next Wednesday night. I have been keeping a season ranking as I've gone through, and I was struggling to place where Survivor Nicaragua should go. And I will tell you that This was a real struggle for me that I could not place it. I was hard trying to decide, did I like it better or worse than what I watched last week with Survivor Worlds Apart? And I feel like that similarly, it was a season with like, a good first episode, and then it kind of waned in the rest of the pre-merge, and then it was got kind of exciting again after the merge. But I feel like that there was, even though there was the quit, like I feel like that it didn't take as much juice out of the season as I remember. So I have this as the second best season I've watched in Survive in 2021. Hey. So somehow I still enjoyed the Edge of Extinction the most. I have Edge of Extinction 1, then Nicaragua, Worlds Apart, One World, Island of the Idols, Redemption Island, Thailand.
This season just had for me so many laughable moments that it was just like rewatching. I just like laughed a ton. And it was a good time. Strategy lack, gameplay lack, but I think they made up for it in like just the hilariousness in the moments that they did have.
I think when it comes to Nicaragua and Edge of Extinction, it depends on your mileage of Rick Devens, and it depends on your mileage of Nayanka. Like, I think that's very dependent on if you like the season or not.
Yeah. So, yeah, call me crazy. But I just feel like that, you know, so far, and neither of those were seasons with like great strategic winners. Both are sort of like out of nowhere winners. But for me, it's more about the journey when I'm rewatching all these seasons. So, Mike, Kim, Boston, Rob, they all did a better job. But I feel like that, pound for pound, Survivor Nicaragua, you know, certainly had a lot of fun.
I agree. I definitely agree. I can rest easy.
Yeah. I can say for people who haven't watched it, it's such a fun ride. Like I could watch a super clip on YouTube of all of just Nayanka, but like Marty gives a lot, Sash and Brenda, Jane, Holly, like not everyone gave, but those who gave really gave.
Jimmy T.
There's a lot there. By the way, next Wednesday night, I will be talking about Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. Jessica Lise and Chappelle will be next Wednesday night. Wednesday night. Should be a lot of fun. Wednesday night. So be on the lookout for that. And then
I'm Chappelle's third biggest fan, apparently.
You are?
I accept that title.
I feel like that's a lot of competition to be even
according
in the
to
top
Zach,
three.
I am his third biggest fan. I'll fight everyone who wants that slight.
Okay. All right. That'll be a good like final tribal council. Everybody's got to give a speech. let me tell you what's coming up here on Rob is a Podcast. Busy day on Thursday. We'll be back talking about Tough as Nails. We'll be back with more Twitch Ultimate Trivia. I will also be talking about the premiere of Temptation Island also this week. So a lot to do. We'll have a Holly Hoffman on Talking with T-Bird over the weekend.
Be on
the lookout for that. And then also we are doing a full rewatch of season one, the only season of Pirate Master. Myself and Aaron Robertson, Liana Boris will join us this Friday to talk about part three of Pirate Master. Have either of you ever seen Pirate Master?
No.
I never even heard of it until you said you were going to watch it.
Yeah.
Was it before 1997?
No.
Okay.
2007.
Jacob's like
2007. It was right
before I was born. I don't care.
It was right before Survivor Nicaragua. Of course, if you want to hear more Survivor Nicaragua talk, you could hear me talk with Sarah from Sydney this weekend in our Patreon podcast feed over at robisawebsite.com/patron. Okay. AJ, where can people keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter at The Kid Norris.
The Kid Norris. Great Twitter handle. But you don't tweet a lot.
I appreciate it. I don't tweet a lot. I ever since the last time we talked, I tried tweeting more, and I think I have. Mm-hmm. I think I'm up to two tweets per week.
Two tweets per week.
Yeah.
And then once you use them, they're done.
They're done. They're done.
So like the medallion of power, then you don't have them anymore. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. AJ, it's always fun when we get together on the podcast.
I appreciate it.
Let me see. I want to look up. What are you tweeting about?
Did I tweet? Let me pull up my Twitter.
Yes. Oh, you recently were on the Nathan for Us podcast.
I was. It was so much fun with Kelly and Megan. We talked about so much mess. That show was crazy.
Are you a big Nathan For You guy?
I'm not a big Nathan For You guy, but I enjoyed what I watched. It's a problematic show. Like, it is funny. I enjoy it. I think it's fun. Kelly and Megan are hilarious. I'm glad they wanted me on. Mm-hmm. And we had a laugh fest. I think it was like a 3-hour podcast that she had to cut into 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, dang.
Yeah.
It was a mess.
Okay. All right. Well, AJ, always fun to have you back. And then, Jacob, this was so great to get the podcast some Survivor with you.
I know. It was super fun. I'm super surprised also that my Wi-Fi, my cellular data was good.
Pat ourselves on the back because this was a miracle that we were able to connect with Jacob here like
the
this.
The road to get here. Hopefully my electricity does not cut out tonight because it's rolling blackout.
Yeah. Do not ever question the perseverance of Jacob Jones.
Never,
he did not give up. Maybe don't invite him to your pool party, but do not question the stick-to-itiveness of this man.
I'm trying out here in these streets, but you can easily find me on any social media at JacobJ_Jones everywhere.
Okay. What are you up to on the social media?
I typically tweet about my life. I post pictures, videos of myself. And when Survivor was going on, I did that. When Sequester was going on, I tweeted about that. And just getting to interact with, like, Sequester, I'm thankful for the experience, but one aspect that I'm super thankful for is, like, having people that I've watched on the screen, like, I get to message and interact with them. Like, a person that I've been, like, gobsmacked, that I've been a huge fan of, and I get to talk to Kevin Martin. I was like, oh my goodness. And so I'm such a huge fan and I love that. But I typically just like hang out and retweet a lot of funny stuff. I think I'm a funny guy, but I don't come up with the funny things. And
yeah. Okay. All right. Well, this was great. Thank you both so much. This was a lot of fun to go through Survivor Nicaragua. I really appreciate the people that come on with me and rewatch the season. I also really appreciate the listeners that are out there. Do you know that there are people that watch the season every week just to listen to the podcast?
Oh, wow. That's commitment right there.
Those are the unsung heroes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Let me know if you're one of those people, please I'm very curious to know how many of those people there are.
Rob,
you don't have to.
What do we get?
You're one of those people. What do you want?
I mean, it depends. I mean, what are you offering?
I don't know. Let's we'll figure it out.
All right.
Okay. All right. Jacob, AJ.
Don't trust this man.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This was so much fun. And don't forget, we'll be back next week to talk about HHH. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
And support for this podcast also comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing too, because you're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.